to the next 8-4 Play podcast. We're making this for you.
Wow.
Come on.
Okay.
We're making this for you.
All right.
What is this from?
I feel like I'm being assaulted.
Did you guys not watch the PlayStation Experience?
Sort of.
The first guy on stage, I thought he was going to grab kids out of the audience and start slapping them. Like, we're making this for you. For you, you goddamn ungrateful bastards.
Unwashed masses.
But no, this is a podcast, and it's a podcast about Japan and games and Japanese games. Yeah. And I am your host, and I am Mark Gaming Jesus McDonald. And with me, we have a bunch of regulars and becoming regulars.
Semi-regulars.
Semi-regulars.
Yeah, prefer the term.
Semi.
Special friend of the shows, shall we say. We didn't need to tier you guys off, but you're definitely in one of the upper tiers. You being Jake, Morning Commute, Kasdal.
Oh.
For multiple reasons.
At least it's not. He's not tweeting the beer he drinks.
I don't do that.
That is one step
down. I'm not
down
a food guy.
That is true. There are way.
Compositionally, value, yes. Tonally, aesthetically, lots of things, not food.
That is true.
Unless it's American breakfast, which is a special
that's
pass.
Right. You just tweeted about food.
That's a special pass.
Well, I was thinking even lower on the totem pole where you're just like your untapped thing.
You're signing in to say you drank this beer or whatever.
So just some quick housekeeping. Jake being, what do you call yourself? President, CEO, founder?
Wait. What was the Morning Commute?
And God of, well, we're going to get there, of 17-Bit Studios.
All these things and more.
Creators of the award-winning Skulls of the Shogun, nominated for several Peabody Writing Awards.
Wow. we should put that on the website.
Yeah, and the gameplay was okay,
too. Oh, yeah.
But mostly the writing. And now Galaxy, which is coming to PlayStation 4 and Vita.
Someday.
Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. But you have moved to Kyoto, as people who might have listened to the podcast 2 episodes ago, mm-hmm. where I wasn't here and JJ was hosting, so probably a lot of people didn't.
A lot of people like that episode.
If people don't know, if people don't follow you on Twitter, which they probably should, what
absolutely.
Your Twitter name being?
JKOOZA.
They wouldn't know your ritual of every morning tweeting out a picture of you as you are riding to work. You are a new transfer to the Kyoto area.
The people around you.
You have lived in Tokyo before, but went back to Seattle for a while. Now you're back, moving the studio over to Japan, which is kind of cool and exciting. Right now it's just you and like one or two other guys, right? But you are in love with Kyoto.
I am.
And you are in love with the morning commute. You ride your bike to work every day.
Even when it's cold.
Tell us about the morning. Tell us about the hashtag morning commute.
Oh, this is exciting.
So I ride my bike to work most days. Although I'm kind of into the train lately because it's really easy. And it's a single shot. It's an Ippon shot
and
all the way down.
Cold.
And it's really good for studying kanji on the train because it's the only like quiet 15 minutes of my day ever.
Jake has 2 kids.
I miss out on the riding the bike is nice because there's a million different ways to go. It's like, I don't know, maybe 40 blocks or something like that altogether. So there's like all kinds of combinations of
15 minutes, 20
ins and
minutes?
Outs. More like 25 minutes.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a good ride.
Yeah, it's a 25 minute ride through Kyoto, northern Kyoto, which is beautiful every morning, even in the shitty weather. And there's always something that I see and I'm like, wow, that's.
And Kyoto's super flat, right? So there's not like hills to go
up and
down.
It's funny. It looks flat and it seems flat, but on the way in, it's always like this breeze. Getting in. Oh, no problem. Cruising along the riverside, like, man, life is great. This is fantastic. Sunshine, birds, fish, fucking beaver things, whatever those things are. On the way back at night, though, it's always cold and dark, and it's like just slightly uphill all the way home. And by the time I get home, I'm like, like, was it really this far? I remember it being this far, like every night. So I have a fold down bike, like a, what are they called? Shokeisha?
I believe it is a
small wheel bike.
A shitty salaryman bike, I believe, is what we
mine's
call
sexy.
It.
Mine's sexy.
Okay,
time.
It sure is. Clown bike.
And so you can actually fold it up, throw it in the back of a cab home. And still ride my bike in the next morning. Which
you can fold it up and cab it home, but I did have to resist when you posted a picture on Facebook of your bike, mocking your bike, because I want to see you on this bike because you are a big fella.
Sure.
Are you 6'3"?
3.
Okay.
Yeah.
6'3".
220.
220. All right. So
you're built like a pro wrestler.
Yes. And you have an earring in both ears. You know, you're bald.
Sure.
And so you're a big guy. And this is a bike that folds up into, like...
The seat goes into the stratosphere.
Suitcase.
And this is how no one fucks with my bike. Because they see the one seat that's, like, 10 feet tall, and they're like, don't mess with that guy. So no one steals my bike.
I'm not sure that's why they're not stealing your bike. But I do want to see you on this bike. Anyway, it is important when those like drunken nights too, you just throw it in a cab or whatever. Yeah, like not being able to take, I see people on the BART in San Francisco taking their bike on the train, and it's just like, oh my God, like you can do that? Yeah. Like that's crazy. Yeah. That
this thing folds down pretty small. They always kind of like, they do that weird Japanese like head twist thing, kind of like a bird, like a dog when you whistle at him, you know, they...
When you ask the taxi driver,
like, can I put my kid in the bike in the back? And they're
they're like, well, yeah.
And like, I fold it down, and they put it in there, and they take this. Everyone's got the straps.
How long does it take to fold it down and everything? Is it pretty simple?
Like 2 seconds. Yeah.
You field dress that thing in like 2.4 seconds.
Dude, I got to like boom, boom, boom. I'm like, check it out, and they're like, yeah, okay.
So wait, is that like an app or something though? Like, why are you you're just posting pictures of your morning commute and using a hashtag, or is there like an app or something where like you do it every day?
Use Instagram.
Oh, but it's not like a morning commute app or something like
no,
that.
No.
But it goes on Facebook, and I mean, I have to say, and I think part of the reason that we're kind of teasing you here is like there have been a couple times where it's kind of been like, yeah, that's a phone pole, or like, yeah, that's rock. You know, I mean, some morning commutes are, I mean, some mornings are beautiful.
Well,
like,
it's getting to the point now where I'm sort of running out of like the daily, like amazing stuff.
I'm saying,
like you've seen it before, it's still amazing now.
You don't have to force it.
I've already done it.
I'm like, why don't you do your night commute?
The night commute's way less sexy. It's dark. It's cold. It's uphill. Like I said,
I'm just saying you don't have to force it. Like when you see that,
so I'm laying off. I'm laying off. You may have noticed it's not an everyday thing anymore. It's only when there's something that's worth saying, hey, that's
right,
what I saw today. Like, it's cool. I'm going to share it with all you lovely people.
Like the A4 Play podcast.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
we do
absolutely.
It once every other week, like clockwork, thanks to the man to my right, JJ Desk Jockey Epperson. You knew I was going to bring this up.
The tables have turned.
Desk jockey because you're on my jock about the fucking desk.
The same could be said about you, Mark.
I don't even know if we want to get into it.
It's okay.
But needless to say,
it's
however
been settled.
Many desks we have in this office, there's going to be one less soon because the one next to mine is going to get torn down. Despite JJ strapping himself to it like a green
piece. It's a useful desk.
Like a green piece. Fucking,
I'm not destroying anything around it.
Rounding out the cast, our other regulars, that's John Minton Box Ricciardi, although apparently he has spoiled his
spoiled one.
We
fit trainer
games anymore. He plays them on his phone.
Well, that's a whole nother discussion, but we're talking about this little lady right here that
I don't
Roy
know what
was
she's technically referred to as, but
early.
That's
the
Wii
Fit trainer.
Wii Fit trainer. Wii Fit trainer.
One thing about this
that is $100 I believe you can get for that on
don't
eBay.
Look at me
for
if it's missing at the end of the
which
night.
Is amazing because
though
I got
apparently
it for like
the,
$10
the Japanese $8. Versions are not going for as much as the American ones.
Well, they wouldn't because they're not
are
as
they not
rare.
Cross-compatible?
They are, I think.
They
aren't
must
they?
Be. No one would region lock amiibos. Would
well,
they? Would actually be that evil?
Well,
I meant to check that before this episode, but I'm pretty sure you can use them. But yeah, like I mean, they're the exact same thing. There might as well, you know, unless you really literally are not taking them out of the box, which is kind of pointless. It's basically the same thing.
The Wii Fit trainer has five fingers in Japan and only four in America, maybe, or some cultural localization differences like that. No?
I got all the
I
got all
the rare
ones. I
think just the logo is different.
Her and, what was it, the...
Her, Marth, and,
the villager. The villager, yeah.
But apparently there are going to be some more that are rare, including Samus.
We'll talk about that in
the
news. I don't know about
I got her too.
Rare, but anyway, so you guys are swept up in Amiibo fever, a.k.a. doll collecting. I like the giant cast that Wii Fit Trainer has.
Like a big, it's frozen, invisible. It's transparent. You're not supposed to see that.
It's just like, it's not there. At least it's not like piss yellow, like the shaft
it will be.
Holding Link up
yeah.
Is coming out of his rear end. But
it will be in time. We know how these things work.
Yeah, a little yellow, like a SNES plastic. So, John, what amiibos do you have right now?
I think we just basically said all of them, right? Samus, this one, Villager, Marth. Oh, and Link.
Okay. And that's not all of them. You didn't get, like, Mario or...
No, we got a Mario from Nintendo, like, The Office, but I don't have one.
Yeah. Okay. And what are you going to do with those?
Probably nothing at this point. Actually,
are you
going to
display
I use,
them? Or are you going to keep
I
them in the box?
The,
or are you going to give them to
No, I'll
people?
Probably just put them on my shelf, yeah, behind me at my desk. Did we talk about them much last time?
A little bit. You'd only just kind of like briefly touched
I've used
them.
It now, like, you know, because I played like Smash Brothers, Mario Kart, all these games that support them to some degree. Smash Brothers being the one that's using the most, but they're really freaking cool. Like how easy it is to use. Like doop, tap it 2 seconds, not even 2 seconds, tap like a half a second and your data is like moved and it's like instant.
Right.
And unlocks stuff in games and things like that.
So that sounds cool for like a memory card or something like that. But why, like, why don't you guys talk about, JJ, you're using, what ones do you
have? Yeah, I got Mario, Luigi, and Link.
Okay.
And we've been using them pretty religiously with Smash Brothers.
Are you building them up?
Yeah.
So, like, what level are your guys?
They're probably 45 by now. Okay. I don't know because Haruki probably plays with them while I'm gone. But
what do they go up to?
I think 50s.
That's what I was curious. My Mario's around 45 or something on Smash Brothers, and that didn't take that long. And he's really good. He was like constantly beating people.
If we do 2v2, me and Haruki, we can't win against the amiibos.
Oh, really? So you and your son are playing against your corresponding amiibos, and the amiibos kick your butt?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. The AI is pretty high.
It's pretty good. And
does it feel cheap or does it feels natural?
It feels like they
could be convinced you were playing against another person.
I would never know if I was watching a video. I wouldn't know it was. I mean, Smash Brothers is hard enough to watch even if you do know what's going on. Like, it's so fast and crazy. Like, I can't even keep up when I'm playing.
Can you tell? Is it actually learning from you, or is it just as it's gaining levels? There's like just a stock AI that it's getting
that I don't know.
Better at.
Like, I'd have to see another like Mario. I haven't really analyzed how they're getting better. I just know that they're like,
you don't control it, so like they must be learning from the people that are playing along with you.
Well,
like, not necessarily
right. Like, it could be, I mean, the way that they positioned it was that this is learning from your play styles, like a sparring partner,
right?
And it's
right.
Like, oh, okay, you know, at first it sucks, you hit it with 20 fireballs and then it learns to dodge a fireball or
right,
jump
right.
over a fireball or whatever. But
you can tell it levels up when it does something like defensively that it didn't do before, like it like dodges in midair and then it levels up and stuff like that.
Right, but you could also see how that would just, there would just be like, okay, here's the levels and here's the switch that it learns at each level.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm just curious how it works.
I think it may be just that. I don't know, but like, it's been fun to play with those, and like, you know, Haruki, he's totally into it. He wants some more, so I'm going to get some more for him for Christmas. And they're nice little collectibles, and at the same time, like, it gives...
Does he play with them separately from the game?
Like, a little bit. Like, he'll, like, try and fight with them, but they don't move, so they're not as interesting as, like, his other toys.
Right.
But
They unlock stuff in, like, Mario Kart as well, which is cool, like, you know, costumes and, or and things like that.
Jake, you've got two boys. No amiibo action going on at the Casdol.
It's a slippery slope. I'm excited not to start sliding down that slope.
Right. For time and money reasons,
we got really into the Skylanders.
Really?
Oh, Casdol, yeah.
Okay. Oh,
so, that went deep. Yeah. Adam Boyce from PlayStation actually hooked me up with a bunch of them, and I kind of doled them out over time instead of buying presents for my kids.
Oh, that's
holidays.
A good idea.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So they got really into that, but I was like, okay, you know, if I had to actually pay for these things, it would be a big deal.
Right.
So I'm gonna go ahead and, I mean, they're cool, they look nice, but it's a slippery slope. I mean, once you have a couple, like, how can you not have a couple more? And they're not cheap. They're like, what, 1,600 yen or 1,200 yen?
I got mine for about 1,000 yen per
about 10
amiibo.
Bucks,
yeah,
more or less. Hmm.
So it's not that bad. And as Christmas presents, it's pretty cheap relatively.
It doesn't have any, you know, like, jointed limbs or anything. I don't know.
Right, but if it makes him enjoy the, like, Smash Brothers more, that I think that's worth
it. We're not doing the Smash Bros. Thing in my house either.
Well, Mario Kart and...
Mario Kart, and I think we're going to do Toad Tracker for Christmas.
Okay.
Nice. That game is good.
I don't think that has amiibo support yet, but it's slated to
I couldn't find the menu. If it's in there, I was like looking for it, and I couldn't see it. But it says that it does, so...
We'll talk a little bit more about that stuff and other Nintendo stuff, but just to finish introducing the cast here, he's been kind of quiet over in the corner, but now he will have no excuse. That is Roy Fuchiko.
It's pronounced Fokker.
I don't get
Fokker.
Fokker.
It is Roy Fokker, and I will bet you
here we can look
whatever
it up,
you want, a steak or
what is this?
Or even like a burger.
I'm thinking like a burger.
How about breakfast at your local?
Oh yeah,
okay, it's on right there.
All
right. Go.
All right, boom. So a handshake has been made.
All right, and you'll have to. We'll have.
Does anyone know how to spell it?
Yeah, Fokker, I'm guessing.
K-K.
Fokker.
Oh,
right.
Uh-oh.
Two K's?
Jake's breaking out the knowledge.
So wait, what does Jake think it is?
Fokker.
And you think it's...
Fokker. Roy Fokker.
And of course, the Japanese translation is going to be right in the middle. We're going to have to fight.
Is that going to be? It's going to be. We're going according to the.
There are threads on the internet about its pronunciation.
Forgive my ignorance, but what is
no
this character from?
It's Robotech.
Okay,
Robotech.
I want to say. Oh well, yeah, the Japanese would decide it, but Foker.
No,
I would lean
Japanese
towards.
The Japanese doesn't decide anything. We're talking about the U.S. pronunciation of it.
I don't know that we are. I don't know.
Why would we be talking about the Japanese? There's no question of whatever the Japanese pronunciation of it is. It's just katakana. There's no two different ways to pronounce. Katakana.
True.
So anyway, we'll have to watch a YouTube video to see the thing, but we can do that during the break.
Yeah, we should actually get like audio of it to hear. But for the record, this thread, there are people arguing about it, and this guy says that it's pronounced Fokker. 99% of Americans pronounce it Fokker. But I asked a Dutch guy, and he says it's Fokker. Oh, so there you go. It is definitively Fokker.
Is Roy a Dutch name?
Dutch guy? Oh, a Dutch guy.
Apparently it's a Dutch name.
Why is this even a debate on the internet?
I don't know.
Listen, I mean, it could be a debate.
Well, people
were
actually debating
to be.
Where the word came from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is like some aviation thing or something. But
yeah, Fokker is the fucking meet the parents
your
guy.
Your motherfuckers. Yeah.
Roy Fokker, motherfucker. Roy motherfucking Fokker.
Those fuckers are FOC.
Not Fokker,
right? Yeah, they are.
Motherfucker. Roy motherfucker. Fucking Blakely.
Yes.
What have you been up to?
Well, I bought a mug for work.
Yes.
That I brought once and then brought it back and then forgot to bring it back to work. So I brought it to work one day.
It's like your work mug, but now you're enjoying it at home.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know about that. That's also a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mug collection. Well, I guess it's more like mug. Like I'm covetous of my mug because I want to have it at home and at work.
I liked your mug, though. It has a nice little lady. Is that a character from anything in particular?
Yeah, it's Cup no Fuchiko is the name of the. Oh. Like the. It's like a character thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Character
like,
good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess it started as like a gachapon thing where like you would get this little girl out of the vending machine and it was designed to go on a cup.
Yeah.
And it was different poses of her like clinging to your cup, but she's like dressed like an office lady and she just has like this...
Stop looking at your phones and pay attention to Roy's mug story.
I am. This is Roy's story.
Yeah. Anyway,
I believe you owe me a burger. You know, leave it at that.
A, it's breakfast. B, JJ's like Siri pronouncing whatever the hell he's doing over there is not the Robotech.
It was howtopronounce.com.
So here's the deal. We're gonna bring this back to the Fokker conversation because I actually have a definitive answer. Masa, come here for a second. So the actual, it's written in katakana,
which is you're not understanding.
Masa has
headphones on. We're talking about the U.S. version.
He looked at you, and then he looked right back.
Wait. Now it's the U.S. version.
No, yes. I never said that.
Of course, dude.
The source.
Shut up.
It starts at the source, Mark. It rolls downhill.
Dude, first of all, you don't need to.
You work in Japan. This whole podcast is Japan centric. Where does it start? It can't start over there. That's the best size fucking Mega Man 6 poster.
So, according to the katakana, it's Fokka. Which I think means Mark is correct, right?
Good.
Well, you're closer.
We don't have to have this bullshit like, I was talking about the original.
But I wanted to get Masa, a real Japanese guy, to come over and read
it.
Masa, coach, can you read this katakana to us in Japanese, not in English?
Masa's busy.
You would
just to the mic.
No one would let you slime out of this anyway.
Masa, you're familiar with the original Macross, right?
Oh, yes, sure.
What's his name?
Roy Fokker.
Dude, yes. First of all, you're
like
wrong
I said,
in any language.
Right in the middle.
Second of all, we are obviously talking about fucking the American thing. Don't try to slime your way.
I watched the Japanese one with subtitles, dude. Come on. That's the source. That's the source. Am I wrong? Internet, am I wrong?
It's kind of right down the middle of you guys. It sounds to me like Mark's a little closer.
You've already lost confidence in yourself, and you're already afraid. You're already afraid.
Not even close.
That can smell the fear like a dog.
Confidence.
Anyway.
That smell you smell is confidence.
Fuchiko mug.
Cup no Fuchiko. Yeah, so she's this little girl who clings to the corner of your mug. It got really popular, and now it's like its her own thing.
Is that the one
thing.
They squish him to, and she's like all squished out at the bottom of your cup?
No, I don't think...
No, I know what he's talking about.
I know
what he's talking about.
One.
We're off to a great start
here. What that is. I believe it's like
a salary lady, salary girl.
She like, yeah.
Salary lady.
A salary woman.
Wait, so there's two different salary women that like go inside of cups and stuff?
Yeah, they like hang
on. This one's like, there's like a normal one, and then the other guy took it to the next level where it's like, she's like squished underneath it, like completely flat.
Oh, I don't like that.
Or she's like drowning in the coffee, just her legs are coming out.
I don't like that.
Wow, that is taking it to the next level. You gotta separate yourself.
It's a thing. It's in the guts of machines now. You'll see it.
So Roy, in yours, she's just in like a towel and just chilling on the yes. edge of the mug.
Yep.
But does she? Is she doing other stuff?
Well, there's different. There's different
series. Soaking in your coffee.
I got like
she
a.
Is.
I got like a.
Nice onsen experience.
I got like a vacation series. So it also there's like one where she's like hanging over the side, like with a bottle of sake, like you know. Bonsaiing or something.
Where did you find this? Or where did you hear about this?
I found it at, oh god, what's it called? Loft. Loft, okay. They have a floor.
And what's her name?
Cup no Fuchiko.
Fuchiko.
Oh, it's cup Fuchiko, not Fuchiko.
Fuchiko.
F-U-C-H-I-K.
It's not like the loop in the third character.
I don't know who that is, but now it's
that would be Fuchiko.
Okay. No, it's not that.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, then I just like, I saw it and there were all these people standing around and I was like, well, this is the next big thing, huh? Better get on board.
Get on board before it's too late.
Yeah.
So
I bought
like
a mug,
Noel.
And I like it.
So let's talk about video games for a change.
How about?
What are those?
How about them?
I don't know, actually.
Oh, me? You're talking about?
No. I was just going to, if people want to kill the conversation, I'll let it die. I'll just fucking sit there and watch it die with the rest of you.
I appreciate you coming in there tonight. Yamcha and I are playing with Destiny, and we could not beat this freaking boss at the bottom of this dungeon thing. And Mark
Shogoff.
Came in and fucking... He was like level 30, and then I saw him leave for a while and come back to level 29. I was like, does he fucking have two characters?
No.
Is there another character that's almost level 30 he decided to come back in as just to take it that much further? Didn't he?
I put on some lower level armor just to level it up because I was like, all right, I'll see you guys. That was fun.
Anyways,
like,
you escorted us safely out of darkness, and I appreciate
that.
That
encounter is the first encounter that I died a bunch on. That's the Shogoff.
Is that the moon?
It's the moon. Okay. You remember the really big dude that has the beam of light?
Yes.
He's like a giant ogre. With a fucking laser beam eye? Yeah.
That is the first one where I was like, spent like a half hour on it. I was like, okay, we're just too low.
We couldn't even get out of that
you
room.
Can like push
like
back
that room,
into
we literally, every time we step out of it, we just get slaughtered.
The room right before him.
Yeah, and then there's like a thing that spawns every once in a while that just comes and kills you, even if you're in that room. And I was like,
fucks you up.
Man.
Yep.
We hit some other guy with us, some random dude. I'm sorry if you were with us, if you remember this encounter. Like, we just could not do it.
And he's like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
We finally ended up just like, yeah, we just like, we left.
There's
a
spot.
You came back in, we went in the next time and killed it.
There's a spot in the room before that room where you actually, there's like a tiny, like few pixels of sight where you can safely just sit in that room.
But you run out of ammo.
Shoot him in the head.
I tried that.
You don't if you have an icebreaker, which has regenerating ammo.
That must be nice.
Yeah. But it was cool to see you guys playing Destiny because these guys don't. Just don't get it.
The coolest thing is, like, you know, you being one of my best friends, Yamachan being one of my best friends, and Dominic in Montreal being one of my best friends.
Exactly.
And the four of us were playing together. I mean, not the four of us, but I've had a couple different circumstances where we're playing, you know, three people. Different continents, but it brings us together. And I hate to sound cheesy like that, but it really does.
No,
killing brings us together.
That's how I explained it to...
Killing brings us together.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's how I explained it to my girlfriend. Is it's like, it is like... The like a very repetitive chat app.
Like at night, my wife will watch me sit down and start playing video games, and I'm like, yeah, maybe we'll watch a movie or we'll watch a TV show together later or something, whatever. And then like she sees me, you know, I'm like, oh, now Mark's on, and Yamachan, and like Dominic, and she's like, you know, she knows it's a loss,
right?
You know, I'm not coming back.
But it's
I'm just gonna go watch some dishes.
You're doing like. For past the first couple times, everybody knows what they're supposed to do, and so you're just doing it quiet. You would just be sitting there quietly, but it's just okay. You're just talking, and you just happen every once in a while. It's like, oh hey, throw a grenade, or hey, could you shoot this guy, or like I'm super deploying or whatever. But like mostly, it's just like I am now like keep up all the time with like you know friends of the show, Billy Berghammer, like a bunch of our friends at Nintendo, a whole bunch of guys that ordinarily like
are you
on
allowed
Skype
to say
or
that?
Whatever.
That the Nintendo guys play.
Are you kidding?
I'm kidding. Yes.
But yeah, like it's just a really cool like chat app, basically. What level are you now? Do you know?
I just turned 12.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to like skip over. I think he's like 14.
He's
now.
Been playing.
Dominic's
some.
Like 20 something, and you're like capped out basically.
So we won't talk about. We're going to talk maybe next time about the Dark Below, that the expansion that just came out. You just came to Tokyo, so you haven't played it yet anyway. And it actually just came out. I haven't played it much. My PS4 actually died.
What?
Whoa. What?
Last night?
No.
Yeah, I didn't tweet about it. I didn't do anything about it because it was like a traumatic
traumatic
death in the family. But I think it's back for now. But it's
when did he died.
So what happened was I was playing with friend of the show Andrew Alfonso who works at Capcom, and it just finished up and we were talking about like oh yeah we should raid together. Give me your line chat app ID.
Speaking of I don't mean to interrupt.
That's, go for it. Go for it.
But
sidebar.
We've had a lot of issues with voice stuff.
Mm.
And so Yamatai and I have resorted to basically speaking over line while not worrying too much about the in-game chat.
So here's something.
Some sort of weird stuff.
Eternal video game problem.
Somebody was using like an iPhone fucking headset, right? Is that you or is that Yamachan?
I think both of us.
Okay. Because it sounded like, and I said this a couple times, I wish I could record this and play this on the podcast. It sounded like a clown car in my ear every time. I think it was Yamachan would talk.
I think it was Yamachan.
Our friend,
yeah.
Friend of the show, Kenito Yamada. It was like, so Jake and Yamachan would both talk, and it literally sounded like I couldn't get the image out of my head of like a little VW bug circling us, going with clowns in it, just like
what
and like
is
having,
that?
Trying to have a normal conversation, and you put up with it for like a minute.
Well, we put up with a lot. I mean, like even just the two of us are playing, and all of a sudden I'm like talking to him, I'm like asking him to do something.
Yeah,
and I ask again. I'm like, fuck, he's not getting back to me.
Yeah,
and like I'll line him. I'm like, hey, can you hear me? He's like, yeah. You don't hear me? I'm like, no. God
so,
damn it.
Fuck one of
thing.
The things,
like, the game's working fine, but the voice is shot.
Something I'm going to call user error, because I play that game with a ton, with a lot of different people, never have any problem with the just little chintzy thing.
All right, I'm going to. I have the PS4 box still in my closet. I'm going to pull it out, and
pull
I'm going to get
out.
The shitty PS4
we'll find
thing
out. Yamcha might be doing the same thing, because I know it was not just you, it was him. But there's also party chat, which a lot of people go into the PS4 system-wide party chat. Have you guys... Probably you've never used this, I'm guessing. If
never
you don't
used
play
it.
Destiny.
Never used it.
It's
no.
kind of weird, and it's kind of a pain, because you have to separately... it's totally separate from the whatever game you're in.
But you're saying it's much more stable.
Just how it used to be on Xbox 360 back in the day.
I used to do that,
right?
On the 360.
You do that on the 360.
I did that on 360.
It's the exact
same. Because we'd have the same sort of issues, and I was just like, all right, we can do it. This is the global thing, kind of... shadows over all that crap,
exactly.
And it just worked for some
and
reason.
People like it because you can. I think it's got better separation. You can adjust the game audio versus the whatever audio. But it's also a pain because you have to like leave the game and then exit it and blah blah blah. There's that awkward silence after you've said goodbye, but before you've actually left the party. what were we talking about?
Voices, you were talking to Andrew Alfonso.
Yes. So I was talking to him. We were about to exchange information, and just pew, screen goes black. This is just after getting the expansion of The Dark Below and playing the first few missions. And I go up to it and I'm like, okay, maybe something got unplugged. Like this, of course, this is not like a major problem.
Right.
You know, and so I'm trying to turn the PlayStation 4 back on via the controller. It's just flashing white. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
Uh-oh.
It just means that your system is not
dead.
Turning on. It'd be the same thing if you unplugged it from the wall and tried to hit the controller.
Wow.
So I go up, hit it, and some people listening will actually know this problem from what I've now looked on Google and stuff about. But it's a problem where when you push the power button, it beeps, and you hear it click on, the blue light turns on, and then it immediately clicks and turns off. And then you hit it again, and it just beeps, and that's it. And that happens over and over and over again. There's no signal, nothing happening to the thing. You can't boot it into safe mode. I didn't even know the PS4 had a safe mode.
Yes, neither.
It does.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it's caused me a lot of trouble. Like, if you, like, I have my PS4 pad charging, and I'll, like, you know, the thing's off, I'm going to bed. I'm like, well, I don't need to leave this thing in here, because I have a little glass case that slides shut if you unplug everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I unplug the pad, and it just, like, magically turns the PS4 on. And you have to, like, go back in, and, like, turn the TV on, and, like, switch it to the right HDMI input.
Yeah.
Power the whole thing off, and I'm always just like, fuck this, and I just pull it out, and I know that it's bad, but it's...
Oh, you just unplug it?
Sensitive. Yeah.
Right.
Just like, I'm just really not in the mood to deal with this right now. Like, I'm trying to go to bed. It's late. You know, I always play too late.
Why don't you just set it up to, like, turn off after an hour or something of you not messing with
you
it?
You can that do
way,
that.
You can just leave. That way you don't have to worry.
You can't mess with that setting if you haven't touched it. One of the other things...
But also, what happens when you're, like, downloading something? Like, the other night I was downloading something.
Yeah,
I went to bed and I let it download if it's going to shut
off.
Well,
I think there's also that option, too, right? Like, turn off
after it's
done downloading.
It might count that as activity. I'm not sure if it would or not, though. But you could have it download in the background anyway when it's in sleep mode, so even if it went into sleep mode, it could keep going.
True.
But you should really invest in... These guys got me to buy one of the separate controller chargers for PS4.
They only sell them in Japan.
It's like a cradle, and I put it next to my TV, and it's great.
I've got my old Android, and we're doing Android development stuff now, so I've got like a bunch of wires like ready to recharge whatever sort of device I might have in the living room. So lately at night, I just plug in my PS4 pad to the Android recharger.
You know, I tried to do that with my Mac, but it would like desync it with the PS4. Do you not have that problem at all, ever?
I'm just recharging it to adapter, like an AC adapter, like an Android AC adapter.
Okay,
like
it doesn't plug up to a computer.
Okay, through the Mac. One of the things I think they... added to the one of the newest updates, kind of sticking on this subject. I'm curious if any of you guys had it. Do you know the, I forget what it's called, there's like a protocol that can go over HDMI where your components can communicate with each other. So for example, if you have a receiver connected to your TV, you can just turn on the TV and it will turn on the receiver. And vice versa. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what the term is, but I believe my TV and my computer have something like that.
So they enabled that for PS4 to where you could just turn on the PS4 and it will turn on your TV.
Right.
It'll turn on the other thing. It was actually, and it would change it to the AV of your PS4, which is really nice. But then I found there was a bunch of situations where I wanted to be watching something on another. There was basically a bunch of situations where I eventually turned it off. But it's actually a cool feature. Mm. If you don't know about it, I encourage a lot of people to look into it, because if it's your one major gaming system, it's actually really nice to just be able to come home, beep on the PS4 controller, your TV turns on, your audio turns on, everything turns on.
This annoying Japanese Panasonic TV where when you turn it on once, the TV is like 3/4 of the screen, and there's like all these apps that pop up.
There's
like the time.
For you and your annoying 4K
and
all TV.
And you have to hit enter. You have to enter again to like go to full screen just
and
TV.
There's no way to get rid of that. Because it took me, I have also a Panasonic Japanese TV, and there's stuff buried in the menus. And I've seen the American version of the same TV. It's a very popular TV, plasma. And it's much more user friendly, the American version. The Japanese version.
I wish mine was American. I also can't figure out 3D on us. Like my kids were so excited about the Lego movie in 3D.
Oh.
We have all the 3D glasses and everything, and the 3D's wrong. It's like that fake 3D where like anything dark goes back and lights come forward.
Yeah.
But it could do that to any TV show. You can just turn on 3D mode and any TV show will be converted to this 3D. Like weird faux 3D thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But a real 3D Blu-ray, it's the right disc, everything. I hit 3D mode and it's still
is
doing
your
that play,
is your player 3D compatible?
Yes. It's a 3D Blu-ray player. I bought it because I was like, I need a 3D compatible, and it says 3D on like the thing. Like,
so I bet
it's a Pioneer Blu-ray player. It says 3D on the fucking hardware.
Some people, some listeners out there, tweet at Jake if you have any kind of solution or similar experience about what he's talking about.
It's killing me. Like I was heartbroken. Like, I've been promising my boys.
You're big into 3D.
Yeah, I love it.
You're big into 3D.
It's the way God intended. Let's just face
But so let's get back. What happened to your PS4 though? Like,
so
how'd you get it back?
The short version. Like, did it? Is it still? You said it's not dead anymore.
It's risen. Yeah, I was basically like, I unplugged it. I plugged it back in. This is last night at like 2 in the morning. Ryan Payton's sleeping on my couch. He's like jet lagged and falling asleep. I'm like, this is too important. Like, I'm.
Dude, the last time he was here was when we sat around and played that fucked up Konami horror game on your couch.
Yes.
With Ryan
PT.
Was there too.
Yep. Right around TGS time. But so I unplugged it, plugged it back in. I was reading online, and I swear to God, the solution, the like number one, like favorited, whatever, primary solution for this problem is banging the console on your knee.
Wow.
I am not joking.
This sounds like the hot towel thing with the Xbox. Remember that?
I remember that. I'm not joking. There is the biggest thread on the internet about this specific problem.
What's the logic?
The logic is, near as I can tell, is the power, the internal, inside the machine. The problem is that the internal power, whatever, power brick, that's not out external to the PS4, it's internal, right? That it's come loose or some kind of thing.
Huh.
There's no logic.
Because of overheating.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But there's no logic to bang it on your knee, except one guy said it on the forum, and then there's a bunch of people being like, oh, thanks, guy, that actually fixed, that actually worked it, and I'm like,
are there videos of people doing
bullshit, did you try it? No, I did not.
You should at least try it.
Well, I was about to, which is how sad the situation was, and I mean, but then I kept reading, and a bunch of people were like, I thought this guy was totally full of shit, and I did it, and it fucking worked. I mean, guy after guy after guy had that, and I was just about there. I was like, I'm just going to leave it tonight. I was starting to think in my head, like, okay, like, maybe I can win that fucking PS1, PS4. Am I going to... I'll buy the Destiny Limited Edition one, or like, I was starting to think of backup plans, because I'm past my one-year warranty, right? So I was screwed.
Oh, yeah, I guess you would be.
Unless I could get to Amazon.
How much of that stuff is up to the cloud? Like, your saved data? Like, is
all
that all?
If you get,
all
that's one
Plus,
thing that's beautiful.
Yeah, if you get PS
like,
Plus.
Yeah, if you look in your recent activity, which I was recently, it's like every day is like all of my Evil Within saves are up there. Anyway, that part is nice. But anyway,
That's like, oh, that's mega nice.
That's big.
That's huge, right? Like, you can lose your hardware and not want to go jump off a bridge because all that
should be the
standard.
Yeah,
still backed up.
And I've been really big into digital games, so a lot of people online had the disc trapped inside the system.
Oh, man.
They had to send it to Sony to get the disc even out of it.
Oh, they don't have, like, one of those things where you put, like, a pin in and it'll.
There is some kind of thing like that, but I don't know how. I don't know if you have to open something to even get to that.
She mailed me and she's like, what can I get the boys for Christmas? And, you know, it's like, do you guys need more trucks or cars? I'm like, no, God, we need more toys.
You just got rid of
it. I was like, Toad Tracker, how about that?
Oh.
She's like, okay, I can send you the disc, but it's not on Prime, blah, blah, blah. I was like, you know what? Just, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
Like, the Mario Kart disc is in there. I bought that. I was like, just send me, like, the points for the code or whatever. I'll just tell them, boys, exactly. This is from Granny.
It's easier for her. It's easier everybody for you. The end result is the same.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing is big. I have friends in the States that'll be like, hey, I need, you know, whatever, I'm going to buy this game. I'll just walk to 7-Eleven right across the way, you know, buy a card, do the little lottery thing on the back, take a picture of it, send it to them.
Well, now it's not even that. It's like, it's clean. It's like a little thing you peel off.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But it looks the same. It's like that weird silvery thing.
Some of them are still like that, though.
And you look at it, you're like, okay, I need to scratch stuff. And you're like, wait, like the whole thing just peels off.
Really?
Oh, I didn't even know it does that.
Yeah, it's this weird new
thing. But you still have to have a hard drive, right? I mean, which is, that sucks. I mean, I have one.
You know,
so you got a hard drive for your Wii U then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have one for your Wii.
No, I do. Yeah, but I mean, it's
not unlimited. There's no doubt.
I got the small Wii U, and then I had to buy a flash drive to supplement.
I got a 1 terabyte. I think it's one. We both got the same one, right? Is it one or two? Mm-hmm. We got a 1 or 2 terabyte hard drive, which is fine. It works great, but it takes up precious space under my TV.
It doesn't work great for me either. I have a problem with that too.
Really? Oh man, have like not enough air under your TV or something.
That problem I had before I had my current entertainment center. Like, I'm very careful about
where is your
airflow.
PS4? Does it have airflow?
It does. Yeah, I'm very careful about that.
Because my
very
PS4.
Careful.
Somehow I realized that I had like somehow touched something and turned it on overnight, and it's in this little like entertainment cabinet thing with the glass door closed.
Yeah,
I was like, oh shit! I opened the door and I put my hand in there, and it was cooking in there.
Oh,
and I was like, okay, quick, you know, like, okay, you're okay, everything's okay here, it's fine.
And it will do that. The thing I like about my entertainment center is the back end of it is completely open.
Yeah.
So like,
mine's closed with like those little kind of black like rubbery little fingers that kind of close the whole thing.
Yeah,
down.
No, that shit will get super super hot.
Remember to dust back there too.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like the closed entertainment center, I'm all about it because it's fucking dust.
That's
man.
Why my wife insisted we got one. She's like, your things are always so dusty. Like, close those damn doors. Like, unplug your controller at night and close the damn
door. I wouldn't play for more than like 2 or 3 hours because that should get really hot. I mean, you could hot enough to fry an egg, hot enough to cook a dog's brain.
Hot consoles
in there, yes. Super hot.
So what happened though? We still haven't heard what let's get to the end of this damn story.
I woke up this morning, unplugged everything because I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do with
and
this.
And he
thing.
Had risen.
I'm gonna have to send it somewhere, and I fucking unplugged everything, got it out, dusted it off, I'm like ready for the funeral. Plug the thing back in, it boots into safe mode, and I'm like, oh, I didn't think this would even boot into safe mode, which if you don't know, if you hold power in for 7 seconds on your PS4, it will boot into safe mode, which is fucking brilliant. I gotta give it up to Sony for that. The Xbox One does not have that, which is kind of ironic, because they come from a PC background.
Right, and Windows has a safe mode.
But I was looking, you know, okay, what should I do here? This is my like one chance at whatever. And I read, and I was like, you can rebuild your database, you can totally reformat it, you can do all these things, and I'm like, wait, why? Maybe I'm just gonna see if the like magical whatever thing has happened. And so I did it, and it turned on and was working. Problem being, all the other guys that I've read online, a lot of them said they had this problem. They got it working again.
It only lasted
15 minutes. It would only last 5 minutes, whatever. So I'm kind of like on borrowed time. But this fucking Destiny expansion just came out. So
well, by the time you get to play it, they'll probably worked out all the kinks.
Wait, are you playing Destiny on the Japanese PS4 or an American PS4?
It is an American PS4. So
you should get a Japanese one so you can have proper buttons.
I that was the silver lining. Yeah. I was like, at least I will never have to fucking deal with the button thing.
Goddamn X button.
I think I might
What's
have
wrong
almost,
with the X button? It's
I like,
fucking scary.
I like the X button.
No, the problem
meant,
is...
It was meant to be the circle
To me,
button.
There's no problem with either way as long as it's consistently that way. The problem is...
Living in Japan, you're going to get... Unfortunately, you're going to a lot of times have to use the circle button.
What I use for my DVR, and when my girlfriend uses a DVR, is a Japanese app that switches the buttons. And so I have to it's exactly like half the time I'm using it one way, half the time it's the other way, and I'm constantly fucking it up. So
I bought a new PS4 from Japan. I had the US launch one. I literally bought a new one just for that reason. It was like, I cannot deal with the buttons. I need to have all the buttons the same all the time. One less thing to stress about in my life.
I sold
my US PS4 for full price. It worked out great.
One of like the most popular tweets I've ever tweeted was like, if I had the ability to travel back in time, I probably, the first thing I would do is go back and stop the Japanese buttons from getting reversed from the US, and like it would be totally wasted on me.
No, it's true. I posted a picture of the, when I got that Japanese PS4 that day, I posted a picture of like the menu screen where it said on the bottom like X cancel, zero, confirm.
Circle.
And it got retweeted like 200 times or something. Like everybody, right. Like everybody agrees.
Yeah, the shitty thing though is that if you download a game from the American store, the game still uses the American button layout, which is like, what am I doing?
Right.
And
which
why
not
I
always really? Does it really?
Always,
yeah, it sure does.
It didn't do it. Didn't do that on PS3, which is
it didn't
even
do it on
further
PS3.
Confusing.
It's just it's needless to say it's fucking mixed up like between the two of them, and it didn't have to be. They could have just made the circle green. And the X fucking red, and like the problem would have been solved for everyone.
Why didn't they just make it so you can change it if you want to? Like, let me go in the option and just set it myself. Why does it have to be hardware set?
I don't know, but for some reason, that's been something people have been talking about for a long time, and no one ever does it, right? There must be some reason? I don't know what it would be.
If I got Ken Kutaragi alone in the room, that's probably the first thing I would ask him. Like, why? Like, above anything else.
Maybe the Steam. I think Steambox might have been saying that's one of the things they're going to do. I don't know. Jake, are you going to have that right here, right now? Is Galaxy going to let you set buttons to whatever the fuck you want?
Yes.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Confirmed.
Why would you?
World exclusive.
I agree, but some
world
people,
premiere.
Some creators are like, this is the ideal way.
I mean, I think that the setup we have is the ideal way, and it's those decisions are not arbitrary. They're through tons of testing and watching people play and stuff. That being said, enough people are like, oh, God, I would love it if I could just switch these. I'm like, okay, I don't... Fuck, sure, go crazy.
The customer is always right in the end, right? Like, I don't think I believe that all the time.
But I mean, if it makes you happy and we can, like... I'm not going to, like, radically
you can
alter
have
the
your
control scheme.
Setting. You can have your default setting.
This is the suggested setting, but if you really...
Nuts.
You know, some people really can't fly an airplane by pushing up to go up.
Right.
They're like, I'm so used to pushing down to go up, and they can't... Even after that first kind of weird, Galaxy's got that first 5 or 10 minutes, and people are like, "Wow, what's this control scheme?" And then they kind of click, and a lot of people are just like, "I still want to push down to go up or whatever." I'm like, "All right, I'm just gonna allow that."
You know what's weird? I was an inverted look guy, and
me too.
I forget what it was, but it changed recently.
Me too.
I was playing something. It might have been like when I was playing the early versions of Evil Within, and you couldn't. It was a debug version that it didn't have inverting, and so I kind of had to get used to it, and then I think Destiny like solidified it for whatever reason. I just had to decide.
I changed sooner than that. It's been about 3 or 4 years now, but for a long time I had to be inverted, like Halo 1, Halo 2,
Halo
3 probably. But
me
at
too,
some
yeah.
point Japanese games were doing, I think Eco was one of the first ones, but we're doing like the right stick camera movement thing where like I don't know,
fucked.
It just
it was
it
like
made
it was backwards.
Well, I don't know if that might have been a different game, but like there were games around that era where Japanese games started doing the right stick camera thing, and they always did it not the inverted way, and I just got used to it. And then now, I'm always, I guess, what's the opposite of inverted? I guess this is just normal?
Regular.
Whatever it is, but
non-inverted.
Normal. like me.
Exactly.
Verted.
We do have a ton of stuff to talk about because there was actually a lot of news in the last couple weeks, but why don't we, I know a lot of people have been playing games, more of games that we talked about before.
Not a lot of stuff we haven't talked about.
Right? Yeah, but you didn't play like the Smash Brothers board game, which is like the best board game Nintendo's ever made.
So this is the new mode to Wii U.
Yes,
Smash Brothers.
Yes, World Smash.
With the best
World Smash,
the best board game that Nintendo's ever made.
Yes,
which is not saying a whole lot.
But it's like better than any
Mario
Party.
Mario Party. Yeah.
It's like Mario Party if the game was actually fun.
Mario Party used to be pretty okay back in the day.
When I was a kid,
I
liked
a novelty. When the first Mario Party, I remember the first Mario Party being like, "Hey, this is actually like, hey, mini game collection. This is actually kind of fun."
Yeah,
but very quickly descended into madness.
Right. It's like it rewards players who are actually good. It's not random. There's no like like at the very end, the guy who got his ass kicked the whole time gets 16 stars and wins the whole thing, sort of BS.
So explain, like, very, very basically in a couple sentences, explain how it works. Is it a Mario Party like game? Do you just fight each other when you land?
There's a board, and all people are on the, like, I think it's max four players, and, well, maybe more. We've only been playing four player, but you're all on the board at the same time, and you all roll at the same time.
Who's the fourth player?
CPU usually.
Oh, okay.
So it's me, my wife, and Haruki, and then a CPU.
Okay.
You all roll at the same time, and then you can choose which direction on the map you want to move. Mm-hmm. And
is that a game of life like map? Or
well, it's the very basic one is a circle with a line through it.
All right.
And on the map, there are like certain things that are like trophies that are kind of like power ups.
All right.
There are fighters that you can use in battles. And then there are like little like power up icons that'll like power up your speed, your attack, you know, your smash ability, and all that stuff. And basically, you take, you know, every turn you'll go around and gathering items, fighters, and all this stuff. And you know, if you run into another player, a fight will start, and the fight will be like it'll have a special theme, like, you know, everybody is metal, or everybody has like a flower on their head, or one hit kills, or you have to.
Is that random?
It's random, and or you, like there, you know, there's like a mode where you have this bomb and you have to like hit it a whole bunch of times and then like blast it into this kind of Angry Birds type of thing.
Hmm.
And you like compete in that sometimes.
Oh, that I saw that they showed in the like 50 things different.
Right.
From and, that looked kind of fun.
And you do all that, and then at the very end, you compete in a Smash battle, and your stock is based on how many fighters you have at the end of the whole thing. So like whenever you battle someone, you basically are offering up the fighters that you have as kind of like a bet.
Right.
And if you win, you get some fighters. If you lose, you lose them. And then at the end of the whole thing, like whoever has the most fighters, that has an advantage.
Okay, so the whole thing boils down to a Smash Brothers like fight.
Yes.
Okay.
And like
what are you rolling? You keep saying you roll. Is it like dice or something? Or
it's
what?
Just like a
slot, like
a slot machine sort of thing. Mm. It's just really fun. Me and Haruki we just have a blast playing it. And he's getting really good at the game, so like, you know, he's becoming competitive.
So you're happy with it? It's separated itself from the 3DS.
Yes.
One enough.
I think that mode alone, like, I'm, you know, everything else about it, I feel like I played it to death on the 3DS, but this alone, like, I feel like warrants the game for me.
What
like,
about 8-player Smash?
Well, 8-player Smash is also really fun. We've been playing that, and that's what I've been using my amiibos with, like, to kind of fill out the roster.
That's
because they get items and stuff. That you can use to build up other characters and everything. So, like, using them versus using CPU is, like, it's very advantageous in the long run because you're going to be building up things.
That game is polished as hell, man. Yeah. Like, playing Smash, because my girlfriend's little brother is 11, and, like, he'll come over every now and then basically to, like, raid my game collection. Mm-hmm. And, like, we played, he came over, like, last weekend, I think, and we played a bunch of Smash Brothers, Mario Kart, and Treasure Tracker, Toad.
Yeah.
Like, all three of those games are so, like, incredibly polished that I was, like, it's weird to me that Wii U is getting destroyed so bad. Like, they missed the mark so far on the hardware, and yet they're still making, like, the best games out there.
Nintendo is making a shit ton of money this year.
Yeah, I saw.
A shit ton of money this year. And so, they are, I mean, Wii U's not doing great, but they're actually set up to have a pretty good holiday. I mean, it has momentum, let's say that.
Yeah.
Sure. But I think you could argue if you wanted
that
they had the best year of any console
this season.
Oh yeah, no. Well, that's not even an argument, right? But I think what you could argue is that they could
some people could argue that. I mean, because you have no third party. I mean, there's definitely an argument to be made there. First party, there's no argument.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Right, right. Oh, I thought that's what you meant.
But some people could even say, "Hey, Smash Brothers, Mario Kart, was there anything else?"
Captain Toad, Treasure Attacker,
well, yeah.
Bayonetta 2.
Okay, no, they have a lot of games this year. Yeah.
So like those three games being exclusive, they're really handicapped because they don't have the third party support.
Right.
If they would just be on an even level on the third party support, that shit they would that would be the console that you
Oh, that's what I was gonna say though. Yeah, I mean they're doing really well already, but they would be doing like two times as well, maybe more, if they actually had a system that like everybody wanted to own instead of just like the hardcore Nintendo fans. Because like you know, if they had third party support too, forget it. Because like they make amazing games still. I can't believe Smash Brothers is like, even though it took, what, 4 or 5 years to make, I'm still astounded by how much shit is in that game.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, the stage creator thing. Like, I was watching him make stages, and, like, it's super in-depth. Like, you can, like, draw out the, like, blocks of land that you
have
go
you
on.
Seen Smashkaball?
No, I haven't seen Smashkaball.
So, these people on the internet created a custom map for Smash Brothers, which is basically basketball with Smash Brothers. It's, like, a really creative map, and it's kind of become its own, like, mod or like subgenre of Smash playing. It's really cool.
That's awesome. It's gonna become like Dota.
Yeah, there's a check out the
except for Nintendo would never allow that.
Check out the there's a Kotaku a good Kotaku article about it.
What should people search for? How
Smashkitball.
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 Like basketball, Smashkitball.
Cool.
Yeah.
But Mario Kart also is just like polished as hell. We got the DLC, which you know the one with the Zelda map and the other stuff and like
kinda,
Yoshi's Island.
I really want that F-Zero map.
Tracks are amazing. They're so beautiful. Like their artists are still like, I don't know if it's just because like they're like it's easier to look good when you're doing that kind of art style, or if they are just actually pretty much the best artists in the world, but whatever, they look so much better than every other game. Like those maps like look amazing. If you watch a Mario
There's
Kart
a level
race
of fidelity
in,
to them I just like it doesn't make sense from a normal budget perspective, I think,
right? Or a technical
they're like,
perspective
fuck it
either.
Let's just do it, let's just go there because we can, like why not, you know, we already spent 5 years in this game, like why not. Because I'm always, you know, as an art director and like, and I've worked in a lot of games, I'm like, I look at these things, I'm just like, who does this, dude? Like, who can afford to do this?
Well, and that game, if you watch stuff in the slow motion replays, like, you can see the little fine
again,
details.
It's the fidelity. It's the fidelity.
Like,
it's just like taken to this like microscopic level. You're like, who does this?
No one else is doing it. And that's the thing that baffles me. It's like, no one else is making games of that caliber, and yet still, I think they're like at the bottom of the pack as far as like hardware goes, you know? And it's, it's just a shame, basically. But,
well, those, at least those games are all selling well. Like, even Bayonetta 2, I think, is selling better than a lot of people expected for being on a single system.
I really need to play that.
From
maybe
all reviews, very much well-deserved. Captain Toad, I played a little bit of that, but just like the first few levels. But, you know, I'm into it. It's like, we talked about it when Super Mario 3D World came out. I was like, I would play a whole game of that. And yes, I'm playing a whole game of that. And it's so far,
it's so good.
It's really fun. It's not like the sexiest, most exciting, like I've got to run around and play it game, but it's like the like Saturday afternoon, like I feel like playing some. Oh, you know, let's
I think playing that with my boys is going to be like super fun. Like we can get into it and
Be sure to like be looking out for secret Luigi's. They're like hidden in all the craziest places, and like Haruki's really good at finding them. So like I'll be like looking around, and he'd be like Luigi, and I'm like where, and it's like like literally in this little cave in the corner behind some little blades of grass, and I'm like, how the fuck did you find that?
Kids are weird that way, man.
But like, they're all the over the place.
The game is so good. I'm super stoked for that game.
Shifting gears pretty dramatically, Jake, GTA 5 probably has not been talked about on this podcast for more than like 5 minutes, but. And not to add to that greatly, but you've been playing the PS4 version.
I have.
And I have like a very much like a curiosity about it. Had you played the non-current gen version? Let's say
half of the PS3 version.
Okay. So, and now are you into the first-person mode? What got you to
the first-person mode was
in?
Like the sealant of the deal.
Sealed the
However, that being said, getting into it, I have to admit this, and I hate to admit this, but I have to admit this. The first person controls are shit.
Yeah.
They're fucking garbage.
Yeah.
How does a game of this budget, this scale, this notoriety, not hire a designer that's ever played a first person shooter before? The aiming is terrible.
Yeah.
It's fucking garbage. Like, the only way I can play this game in first person is with auto aim, which kills the point.
Right.
It literally kills
that's
the entire point.
Weird. What I've heard,
I don't know why. Like, I've tried every combination. I've read on the internet. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Like, there's got to be some setting where I can unfuck this. No.
Because there are a bunch of settings, right? There are like, oh, do you want to be in first person or not? And when you're driving.
Doesn't matter.
And then the other part that I've heard is like the like inertia. I think this was from the Bombcast where I was listening to them talk about
the aiming.
The inertia for when you move in third person is different than when you're in first person, but it's the same in this game, and it feels a little bit weird.
They just, they missed the, like, they, almost did it. You see the videos, you're like, oh my god, I can play GTA in first person mode. This is going to be the greatest thing ever.
Because they did add some stuff. They added a bunch of custom animations. You could stuff be a that cat. You wouldn't
they tried.
See otherwise.
They tried. There's a lot of great stuff in there. Like, it almost, I mean, the bright points almost outweigh the negative ones.
Right.
Like, it's so incredible. And like walking around in first person mode and just like taking your time and exploring the world and stuff. I mean, it's just insane. Like, I stole a boat one night and I was riding around the coast and this thing had like cruising lights into the water, and I was like going over these coral reefs at night, and I could see like the sharks swimming under the water, like at night, like through the refraction of the water. I was just like, dude, I called my wife. I was like, yo, go look at this. This is crazy. This is like so crazy. It's so beautiful and it's so cool in so many ways. And the game is so fantastic. But those aiming controls, dude, come on, you guys. Like, dude, it's 2014. Like,
maybe
anybody, you could hire anybody from any Call of Duty studio that ever worked on that game and be like, you would do a better job at just aiming the gun. Like, so, I don't know why this is a hard thing at this age.
I'll be curious next, whatever it is that comes out from them, whether it's 6 or like a, you know.
But it's always been bad, right? They've never really had good aiming controls.
No. But they've never embraced first person like this before either.
True.
So maybe this is like the first step. They see how excited people are about it, whatever, and maybe they do now invest in building the game, the next game, from the ground up.
There's definitely something much more visceral about, I mean, I personally don't really enjoy third person action games. Like, there's always a bit of a disconnect. It never really quite works for me. So I prefer either 2D games or first person games. And so the idea of having that GTA experience in first person in a lot of ways is stunning. I mean, the fidelity they've realized into the world, into the, you know, sitting in the car and like seeing the entire dashboard and like being able to get up and look at things and like get right up on stuff. I mean, like, if they were to do, and this is my hope, this is my one dream for 2015. Oculus Rift support on the PC version, where you could actually like get around and like, because the world is so fucking realized. Like, you know, the cereal boxes in Franklin's house. You're just like, dude, like, it's a world that these guys somehow hired 1 million people and made this entire world.
Chinese sweatshops.
It's crazy. And I mean, and everything does have physics and stuff, fidelity. Like, you could knock all that stuff over. If you could, like, walk around in that world with an Oculus Rift and just, like, be one-to-one with that.
Right.
It would be the most, like, stunning VR experience you could ever ask for.
But until that point, just fix the shooting.
It doesn't even have to be shooting. Perfect. It has to just be not so bad. It's so bad.
It seems like shooting is, like, Achilles heel.
I know the PS4 pad, like, the PS3 pad sucked at first-person shooters. This is just this is just a fact. This is just the way it is. I'm sorry. The PS4 pad is markedly improved. It's arguably my favorite gaming pad ever. And I've played Destiny. I've played Call of Duty. The fidelity is there in that pad. I've played those other games. And I'm like, wow, I can do headshots like I've never been able to pull off before. Right. Like, it's got that higher level of fidelity in that control. It's so amazing.
Yeah.
And this game just like, just totally whiffed.
The first person, third person thing is like an interesting quandary, though, especially for like, so for GTA 5, where it's so important that you're playing these, and I say this as somebody who hasn't played the game, but like my perception of it, you're playing these three different characters and kind of reminded of, okay, who you are and seeing yourself. It's something in Destiny 2 that is a little weird because it's like that game is so much like Monster Hunter about like, oh, the armor you're wearing, it's supposed to be, and about the guns you have and stuff like that. And you're only experiencing through other people's eyes. Yeah. You only see yourself in the city,
right.
And then when you do a special move every once in a while.
I'm glad they at least give you that, though. Like, when you're in town, you kind of want to show off anyway.
Right.
So I think that's a good place to do it.
It's like a balancing act, and I feel like that game is still like struggling with it and kind of figuring it out. I mean, you see your hands every once in a while, and you're like, oh yeah, that's right, I'm wearing these fucking like flaming gauntlets. And I forget that all the time, you know. Right. But
what they should do is, like, I forget if I talked about this on the podcast or, like, just in a private conversation or something, but, like, I see two things. Like, one, allow you to put, like, a little picture-in-picture in the corner of the screen where you can see yourself in third person.
Like,
that'd be awesome.
And, Wolfenstein.
Or, like, put it on the Vita. Like, just have the Vita. I could, like, set up the Vita there and see myself in third person while I'm playing. Why not? You can do it, technically.
Sure, that's true.
Well, yeah, the Vita can't render that stuff, personally, so it would have to be, like,
video
spooling off it, which would be taking up CPU power off the main game. So
oh, don't get all technical on me.
Well, I'm just telling you why.
Game developer.
Pissing on dreams here.
Mr. Game Developer.
GTA boy. VR fucking GTA.
Well, we better
move on. That and Destiny.
Pissed on your dream.
When I'm zipping around on my bike in Destiny, I'm like, if I had that helmet on and I'm like looking around that world, because those vistas are just crazy, right?
Yes, they're
#Destiny commute.
I think they... They have, I think they have like 5 or 6 guys just doing their skyboxes. Those guys deserve a raise.
They're
whatever
freaks,
they're getting paid.
There are Vistas in that game that are world class.
Ridiculous.
Props to Bungie. Yes. You guys are the Vista Kings of
Redonk.
The universe.
Redonkulous. Roy, let's before we take a quick break and go into news, I wanted to talk just real fast about Persona Q. Shadow of the Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow of the Labyrinth.
Which I had to ask if those were two different games, because I didn't know that Shadow of the Labyrinth was a subtitle. Real quick, what is Persona Q Shadow of the Labyrinth, and how is it?
It is... It's totally Etrian Odyssey combined with Persona. Yeah. Persona is 3 and 4, mostly 4.
Are you an Etrian Odyssey fan?
Oh,
you
yeah.
like those games?
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're cool.
So those are, like, first-person dungeon crawlers, really, like, really challenging. You have to, you know, really consider the growth of your characters, and... you have to map dungeons as you go. Like, you don't just... Well, in this game, Persona Q actually does have
an
auto-map.
You don't have, like, the graph paper out.
No, they do it for you in the DS, the bottom screen.
The bottom screen is, like, your graph paper. And, yeah. So, it's got all that stuff from Etrian Odyssey, but then Persona 4 stuff, so you can, like, customize your character's personas. And then the character design from Persona 4, which I love. But, like, they also tried to blend in the Etrian Odyssey look, so it's, like, your characters are super cute... And also, like, badass looking, which it's like, it's the greatest.
A good combination.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that like, what you tweeted something recently where you're like, these are awesome characters? Was that from that game?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
One of them's like a dog with a jacket and, like, swords in its mouth. Like,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
How can you not love that?
Wait, but, and so what are you playing this on? What are you playing this for?
3DS.
And when did it come out?
Last couple
like
months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Semi-recently.
Mm-hmm.
And so how is it?
At first I was a little down on it, just because the story's kind of not that great. Which, I mean, it's one of these games where you're taking two different video game characters and combining them into one. So it's like, of course, the story's going to lack a little bit, right?
But
like
Persona those games are usually about story, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it was something I'm using over here.
No, we're enjoying your story.
Yeah.
So anyway, but the story is pretty bad. It's like it starts... I played it from both points of view, because when you start the game, you can either be a Persona 3 character or a Persona 4 character.
Yeah.
And then it'll kind of focus on that group initially until they meet up later on in the game. So I started with both to see which I would like better.
Right.
And without the gravity of what happens in Persona 3 and 4, which is, like, a lot of, like...
No spoilers.
A lot of, like, dealing with trying to prevent certain things from happening, people from dying,
oh
that
my
kind
God,
of thing.
Spoilers.
Without that, it's just a bunch of people, like, regurgitating the same tropes over and over again.
Okay.
So, for instance, there's,
it's
like...
Like a fan service sort of deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's, like, this dude who's in a bear suit, right? He's a Persona 4 character.
Yeah.
And in Persona... Four, he was cool because, like, he's from the TV world, spoiler.
You're talking about Teddy?
Teddy, yeah. Mm. And so, but he comes into the real world, and he's trying to figure out how to live within the real world, and, like, that's kind of interesting. Mm. But in Persona Q, he's already, like, pretty much adapted to stuff, so all he is...
A dude in a bear suit.
A dude in a bear suit, and all he does is hit on girls.
Oh.
Like, so his thing is, like, there's a girl, and she appears, and he's like, oh... He says something based on what she said and, you know, basically just hits on her. And then she turns him down and then he makes a dumb face or, like, falls over or something.
Nice.
And it's
spoilers.
Like, that's all he does. As far as I played it, that's all he does.
Right.
And,
One-dimensional characters in a Japanese role-playing game?
But like Mark
empty
said...
Empty on the inside.
In 3 and 4, there's some... The story is really
No, that's
great.
True. Yeah. That's true.
Okay.
So...
But digging it so far on the overall...
Yeah, the Etrian Odyssey stuff saves it. Like, the dungeon crawling is really good. Good level of difficulty. And they worked in some of the systems from the Persona games where it's like, if you hit an enemy with an element that it's weak to, it used to be you get another turn, basically. But now it's like you get this boost effect for that character where the next time their turn comes around, they can do anything for free. There'll be no SP cost or, you know, magic cost, basically.
Okay.
So,
pretty cool.
The better you are, the more you know your enemy is, like, you can just tear through shit.
Right.
And then at the end of battle, the more characters that are in that boost stage, the better the reward that you'll get.
Ah.
So, yeah, like, that's the most... That's the quality that makes me want to come back to the game, just dungeon crawling. And that's like 80% of the game. So,
how far would you say you're into it now?
I'm only at the first dungeon, which is like, I think, 3 or 4 floors, and I'm like on the second floor.
Okay.
And, oh, that's another thing. The localization is pretty, I don't know.
Pretty awesome, I think you mean.
Yeah,
because awesome. we don't disparage other localizations.
Yeah,
we like, would never do that.
I tweeted about this too, but when you pick your name for your character, there's only six characters for your first and last name.
Wow.
Which like
first and last name?
First and last name can only be each six.
Do you have
characters.
To choose a last name?
What What's the matter, say? Roy Fucker?
Yeah,
Roy Fitz. Yeah, but somebody pointed this out that like if you pick the actual because one of the Persona 4 protagonists appears in. In the Persona fighting
that
game,
fucking phone.
Yeah.
And he has a canon name. And if you try to put it in this game, it won't fit because it's just not
hash browns, Mark.
You just got to put the first initial of his last name.
Right. That better be American bacon and not fucking Japanese bacon. I'm gonna be pissed.
He's slap you with it.
The bacon was in the middle.
Is in the middle. It looked a little floppy.
The hash browns are pretty good. The eggs are fantastic. Toast, whole wheat toast.
Okay.
100 yen, that. All you can drink fucking American blend
that
coffee.
That sounds kind of crazy. JJ, JRPG staying on this. Just say something real quick. I think we'll probably get into this deeper next time because I think you just started it, but Bravely Second.
Bravely Second, the demo
to Bravely Default. Default.
Yeah.
Default when did the demo come out? Like
it
this
came
week?
Out last night. It's
two nights
just,
ago when
it's really
this.
Good. It's beautiful. They added some really great stuff to help with grinding. One of these things I was not in the original Japanese version, but apparently it was in the English version, which is that you can change the encounter rate to whatever you
want. That was in the English version.
Basically, you can have a 200% or a 0, which is great for if you just want to run outside and get something or whatever.
Yep.
They have autosave, which is like something you don't really see in JRPGs. There's this really cool thing that
autosave.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, I know, right?
PC shit doing in a JRPG.
And
Bravely Default, the US version did a lot of good stuff as far as like it felt like a classic game with modern, you know, dressing or whatever.
Right.
Like it did a lot of that.
I don't play many JRPGs these days, but I did go all the way through the demo of the first one, which even the demo for me was like a lot of time. It was like a couple weeks of like late nights just like dragging around.
I heard a lot of people talking about Bravely Default that would not normally talk about JRPG.
Just the aesthetic is super old school, really pure, tight, clean.
It's great, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. And then this game, like it's. They have
it's like the antithesis of all the modern Square bullshit.
They have a bestiary in this game where all the images of the monsters are hand painted.
Really?
Watercolor. Nice. Oh, it's so nice.
So what? Because we don't have a lot of time. Like, what's the biggest difference between the first game and this game so far?
Okay, so well, one thing that they added is like a battle combo system where if you defeat. These enemies, if you defeat like a group of enemies in the first round, you can kind of wager your experience and all that stuff to get like bonus experience, basically. So you'll be the guys in the first round, and then you'll have like the bonus chance. You press the button, and then another group of enemies come out, and if you beat them,
you get the reward.
You get the reward, which is like 1.5 times the amount of things.
But what if you lose to them? Well, then I guess you just lose,
you
period,
just lose,
right?
Yeah.
So,
do you still brave or default?
Yes, you still brave or default. Okay. But fortunately, and this is another great thing, is that you can set macros, and you can set them to play automatically outside of battle. So like whenever you enter into battle, you don't even have to set it to auto. It just automatically does the thing. So if you're grinding, you can like set it up to 200% encounter rate and then just walk around and have it auto battle and just grind. And
but
do
you see the battles, right?
You see the battles.
Yeah, I mean, that's how the first
point
game
there,
was.
Where you're like over the edge. You're like,
or it's like, why am I playing this game?
Why am I doing this?
Well, because some people, it depends on how you feel about grinding.
I mean, that
like,
was in the first game too, in the English one. Anyway.
In the English one. You can set it to whatever you feel comfortable with. Me, personally, like...
Well, I just mean when you're setting the grinding rate but also setting it up to grind automatically, it's like, why don't you just hit a button and just give yourself 5 levels?
Well, they probably want to make you. Well, I see
awkward silence.
Yeah,
but I'm with you, man.
No. As from
I think
the
that the answer is that there is no answer.
Well, from the user
you
standpoint,
still have to win.
Yeah, the user standpoint, I see that as a yeah. Why don't they just let me play A to win? But they don't want to. Like, there's that risk factor. Like, there is still a chance that you will lose, and like you'll encounter a bad
It's a lot like Final Fantasy V was. So you especially with bosses, you will get to points where you need specific skills or abilities or whatever in order to even like. In order to make the battle like not impossible, basically. So like the boss battles at least are pretty smart.
Right.
Well, Final Fantasy V, you can get through that game with any 4 given jobs.
Apparently.
I'm all for. And I don't see this happening anytime soon. But I, being the busy individual adult, unfortunately, that I am, I wish that a lot of those beautiful modern JRPGs would allow you to say, hey, you know, how much time do you want to put into this?
Yes, yeah, so I want to have a 10-hour.
I want
the 10-hour version of
director's
Final
cut.
Fantasy 13.
I want to play through that. I'll give you 10 hours for sure. Yeah.
You know,
I'll give you
the
full price too. I'm not going to pay 68 hours.
Jake, like, you want to know where the 10-hour version of Final Fantasy 13, for example, is?
No, tell
on
me.
YouTube.
That also drains a bit of the magic of the experience.
It does. That's actually an interesting idea, where it's like set how long, set the time at the start.
Hey, are you 17? You have all summer vacation to play this one fucking game. I would like 600 hours of enjoyment, please. Okay, cool. Line
are
up
you
over
a
here.
College
you,
student?
Are you 40 years old? And you've got you run a company and you've got two kids. 10 hours, maybe over the course of like 2 months. Okay,
we're
going to
read
you're in
you
this
the
line
first
over here.
Half of what happens in the first 40 hours.
That's a pretty good idea, though. I would.
You can do it. You can strip
it
down.
An Ultima 5 like beginning where it's like just asking you about your life and it's like, okay, are you married?
Yes.
No. Does your wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or husband like video games?
No.
Yes or no. Like, do you have kids? How many kids do you have? What time do the kids wake up?
That
like,
is actually a really good idea. And then it sets the game.
All of that shit.
No, realistically, you got 10 hours
and
to
it's
make
just like,
me have a good
credits
time
start playing, basically, for Jake.
That would be awesome.
When is your game coming out? When was it supposed to come out? All right. Credits roll. And the thing is over. Why don't we take a quick break unless we have something that anybody really has to talk about? Which they don't. So take a quick break. People go to the potty. And when we come back, we'll do news, PlayStation Experience, Game Awards, et cetera, et cetera. Stick around.
Yeah.
We are back with the what, JJ? The news. fresh off the presses, the PlayStation Experience, not starring Jake Kasdal.
God damn it.
Why didn't you go, man?
Yeah,
it's a long story.
Apparently, you were on a panel.
I was on a panel.
No, I want to hear the short version of your long story because we gotta do this news in like record time. We got a lot to talk about.
So, John Davis and I, good buddy.
John Davis, friend of the show.
Already sounds like a long story.
Community
good
man.
Buddy. Says, hey, you want to be a part of this, like, you know, working in Japan panel? I was like, absolutely. Can't wait. Super excited about PSX, whatever.
Yep.
I said yes, and he's like, and a couple weeks later, he's like, it doesn't look like it's going to happen, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. It's not going to happen. I'm like, okay, cool. Done.
Skip to last week.
Hey, wow, look, there's a tweet or like a press announcement on the Sony webpage saying, hey, I'm part of this panel. And I called John. I'm like, hey, what? And he's like, oh, yeah, let's back on. I'm like, it's good. You didn't know what told me because I'm not prepared. The plan was to go back to PSX. Do the thing. Go to Seattle. Pick up my cats, which are still in Tom O'Connor's house from Nintendo. He's taking care of the cats. Turns out you need 40 days prior to bringing the cats to Japan. You need to do one more last blood test thing to make sure they don't have rabies. And rabies
I'm underdoing that right now. Okay. Yeah.
So I figured this out like 38 days before I had to be at PSX.
Okay.
And I had this big meeting in Tokyo this week with Gung Ho.
Yes.
And it was like fly back in and go straight to Tokyo and be away from my family for like another 10, 12 days, whatever. And I was just like, And Raj and Kalen from Seattle were able to go down and represent the game and make everything look good. And so I was just like, why don't you guys handle this? I'm going to not go.
Did you get a report back from them about how it went?
Yeah. Seems like it went really well.
Mm-hmm.
So who did the Working in Japan panel?
So it was Brad, John, Dylan,
Brad Douglas from Sony, show, Dylan Cuthbert from Q Games. Massimo, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, formerly Grasshopper.
Yeah, I'm not sure who else was a part of it, but I did miss out. I did tell John, however, just for the record, I told him I wasn't coming, and I told them I wasn't coming weeks before, and somehow my name stayed on the panel, but...
not your fault.
Wasn't there.
All the people that showed up to see you.
Show still somehow happened without you.
It did. It managed to get by without my glorious radiance, but
it seems like it went okay.
Seems like it was a good show, and I sounds like everybody I talked to said it was kind of one of their favorite shows they had been to. Like, it was a perfect scale, perfect tempo, kind of like just really like the right scale and the right size to
have a really good idea. Like, now that it's done, it's like, oh yeah, duh. But it's kind of surprising that up until now, no one did the Blizzard thing.
No competition whatsoever. Like, hey, we're gonna just own this thing and have our own message. Like, do whatever we want to do. They're not competing with other companies and announcements. Like, it's kind of genius.
It kind of reminded me of the Nintendo E3 last year, where like they were just having panels and showing games and being like, hey,
they had the Nintendo.
It's just like a big
and like that too, which everyone's gonna ape next year. You know, everyone's gonna ape PSX next year too.
Yep.
I'm cool with.
If they have the award show, I'm sure all three will have, maybe all three, at least Microsoft, who really didn't show up to a lot of this stuff. Some people were commenting on that.
What is up with them, man? They are just getting stomped now. Like,
well, they're selling their consoles for $100 discounts.
They're getting aggressive on price, man. They're getting
And they're still getting stomped.
It'll be interesting to see November MPDs.
Yes, which may be before this podcast comes out.
Which actually probably will.
Yeah. Let's record two reactions. They got stomped. Oh, shit. They did really well. PlayStation got stomped.
I will say, whatever happens, don't take it as an indicator of which way things are going. Christmas
I already
is
know
like
which
this,
way things are going, but okay.
Well, okay, sure.
We
but
all
like,
know.
Christmas is a weird like outlier. The price drop isn't permanent, and
it's not permanent. What are you talking about? Really?
Well, let's Iraqi really? Minister of Information.
I'm just saying.
We can move on.
I'm just saying. It like
right.
Take it into January and February and see how it goes.
Okay. Well, so the PlayStation Experience to the nuts and bolts of what actually happened. So they had a big keynote. Let's go over. This was provided to us by GameSpot. Thank you for the news.
Yes.
NeoGAF, we got a bunch from. Anybody else this week we should thank?
A little Polygon
in there. Let's just go through this keynote. I watched most of it today. I was watching like parts of it on my phone, but I was out and about that day. So let's start off with the Bloodborne. The Chalice Dungeon.
That was a good trailer.
Which you are creating. It wasn't even, well, they were playing through it, Rive, and talking about
Well, there
it,
was also Rive. A new trailer.
Oh, okay.
You've been in Japan too long. You just said Rive.
Did I?
Yeah.
So they were playing through it live on stage, and it's basically like a procedurally generated dungeon, as I understand it, but that you can like lock in as your version of that dungeon and then trade with other players. You can also, of course, play it co-op. With other players, which sounds like a pretty cool idea. The idea behind it being that, you know, like the first time you're playing Dark Souls or Demon Souls, when you don't know everything already and you're figuring out, you have no choice but to be figuring it out because it's your random dungeon, but then you master it and then you can give it to somebody and be like, hey, JJ, oh no, like when after you fight that boss, definitely like, you know, go back and save or whatever.
This makes me so happy.
Because you are the master to then transfer to the other thing. I think it's a really interesting... I'm really fascinated to see how the idea is able to be pulled off, because I think it's a really interesting
take on
it.
It's kind of the way that, like, when I'm playing Destiny with you or with Dominic, who are, like, 10 levels ahead of me, you guys are like, all right, come over here and, like, do this thing, and I'm like... But it's like, kind of fun because I'm like, wow, I'm out of my league. I don't know what I'm doing, and then you guys are just like, vur, vur, vur. But it's, you know, it's a different experience.
Well, but it's like it's like how do you preserve that like the old schoolyard like experience, right? In a game like Dark Souls, where some dude is out there running through it from the day it goes on sale in college or before that, and then there's a wiki up that tells you exactly how to do everything.
Well,
you still have aspects of that. I mean, the bosses are going to be the bosses, but exactly how the level fits together.
A good comparison would be with like Dragon Quest IX, the Masayuki dungeon, which is like the special dungeon that everybody wanted to get, which had like metal slimes all over the place. So maybe there's like the one like dungeon that some guy makes that is just like this legendary fucking cool dungeon, and everybody's running it, and there's like a speed run just for that thing and all that sort of thing.
And the Dragon Quest IX dungeon you're referring to, just like a sentence to explain to people.
Basically, in Dragon Quest IX, you could
in the Japanese version, you could
street pass these randomly generated dungeons, and there was
they
this
were
one
named
dungeon.
After you.
Yeah, they were named after
your
you,
character.
And this one guy Masayuki had this dungeon that was just like Metal King. All over the place.
It was amazing, but it was really hard. But it was amazing, and like everybody wanted it.
Yes,
the only way to get it, you'd have to street pass.
So it like kind of like seeped through the community like a virus because of street pass. And it was just really
that's really cool. Actually,
that is cool. Yeah. Speaking of Bungie, somebody mentioned it. They showed off Dark Below there. Some of the PlayStation exclusive stuff. Some little like murmurs here and there about people bitching about some stuff being PlayStation exclusive in Destiny,
yeah,
which again, I'm going to say this a bunch of times on this podcast. I don't understand it. I like, to me, it's like, this is how business works.
Right.
I don't get the, I mean, I understand not being happy about it, but I don't understand the, like, the indignation of, like, how does this possibly happen? I mean, I wouldn't be happy if I was playing on Xbox.
I don't see that either, because, like, I mean, well, this was PSX news that came out before PSX, though. The big thing was Street Fighter V getting announced, right?
And, well,
like,
let's talk about that now, because I know you guys are going to be outraged. Given how pissed off,
yeah, I don't like it.
You thought the Tomb Raider announcement was at E3.
My mind has not changed.
No, it makes sense to go with the platform that actually is successful in every region of the world. So why would I be outraged?
Because, like, your outrage about the Xbox thing was not that it wasn't the most successful platform. It was in the ham-fisted way of which it was announced and whatever, and they didn't say,
yeah, well, that, like, too,
exactly when or whatever.
This wasn't ham-fisted at all. The first trailer right there said exclusive to PS5.
First of all, it leaked, it leaked 2 days before the announcement was supposed to happen.
What does that have to do with it being ham-fisted, though? I don't get it. Like, that. My point is, in the trailer, which, even if it launched on time or not, was very clear, exclusive to PS4 and PC. Like, there was no, like, exclusive for a little while, maybe exclusive, maybe not, we're not sure, we're going to change our message, we're not going to apologize for it, like, 2 hours later, like they did with Tomb Raider.
So the problem with the Tomb Raider announcement was that they changed,
the problem with Tomb Raider is they weren't clear about it. We went over this last time, and it's the same thing. Like, they announced it, and then, like, Crystal Dynamics wrote, like, an apology, like, 2 hours later. It was like, why are you apologizing if this is the plan? It was like, are we all in?
They
are we all out?
Because people on this podcast were like up in arms about. How could you do something like that? Like,
I don't like third party exclusives. Just straight up, I don't think they should exist.
I don't have any problem
but
with it.
I feel like, well, maybe this is true about Tomb Raider. After the fact, if you think about it, maybe this is true. I don't know if you look at the footage we've seen for Street Fighter V. I don't know if this game would have been made if Sony hadn't stepped in, because the graphics, they don't look that great. It looks pretty much like Street Fighter 4 with a slightly new coat of paint. Look like they have much of a budget.
This always seems to be what the argument descends into, is like, would this thing
It's like
have,
Bayonetta 2.
Would this game have existed whether or not the publisher, the first party came along? To me, and, like, come at me, bros, because I know the fucking audience is out there and it's pissed off anytime I wonder this. It's like, whatever the business decision is that's made, somebody made that business decision, like, and you don't have to like.
Yeah, but I think it's fair to play.
As a platform holder, how else are you going to differentiate yourself besides having exclusive content?
Well, first party content is how you do it. I think.
Well,
but first party, like, who invests in giant first party right now except for Nintendo? Like,
yeah, but that's
no
because
has,
but they should, and they would if they could. They
I think it's way more risky to try to keep that kind of massive staff on board. It's way easier to just be like, hey, let's just throw a bunch of money at this title, which looks fantastic. They've already done the work.
Well, it's a marathon. It's a sure bet it's not at a sprint. Point. It's something that takes years to develop, and no one has quite figured that out yet. Everybody tries to go for the big thing next year rather than the big thing.
Nintendo is able
now.
To survive just because they have that first party.
They're good forever.
They're,
but before we get
bubble,
too far
they're
off,
in a
though.
Weird, you know, little thing that they're Nintendo and they're different. And, like, I will always buy Nintendo hardware because they have great Nintendo games.
And that's the only place you're going to buy them. Yep.
Sorry, John, keep going.
No, I kind of got off there. But, I mean, I think, like, Street Fighter in general, like, however it happened, if you want to look at it from a business standpoint, and we actually don't have any. We don't have any, like, special info or whatever, so this is purely, right. like, conjecture here. But, like, in my mind, this is probably a multi-layered deal, right? If it really truly is exclusive, they had to trade something for that, right? Or, you know, maybe there's going to be some reason, or maybe they're upset about, like,
but
Deep Down
know.
Never came out or something. I don't know. Like, it was a train wreck, so, like, it's, like, a favor. We have no idea, and we're never going to know. But, like, there's always something more behind the surface. But, like,
but
in
we
my
don't
mind...
know, for example, we don't know. You know, you were saying, like, it was super clear or whatever, unlike Tomb Raider. We don't know if they come out with Ultra Street Fighter V or, like, the next expansion
yeah,
or whatever.
Totally.
Maybe that would come out on other
no,
things. Do we know
maybe
that?
Maybe it
would. That.
There's nothing wrong with
so
that.
So it could effectively be a timed exclusive. And
right.
they're doing, I think, the same basic thing.
I have heard that it's not a timed exclusive. Like I brought that up, and people are like, "Nope, it's a permanent exclusive." But, like, who knows? You never know. Nothing
right.
is permanent,
yeah.
right? So I don't. But I think, like, the thing in my mind is, like, the thing with Tomb Raider is it didn't make sense. It was a PlayStation property for years. Like, not literally Sony publishing it, but, like, come on. PlayStation was Tomb Raider for, like, a really long time.
But it made sense to the person who had way more information. It made, like, dollars and cents sense to somebody who had more information about it than we did.
But so that was... But you just assume that person had good judgment? I've been in the industry long enough to know a lot of people make really fucking stupid decisions, and I think that person took the check without really thinking of what the long-range win could have been had this eventually come out on all platforms, right?
And
I
think you really think that about the
details on how the deal
Tomb Raider, like,
Square we're talking about. You do realize what happened at the middle of this conference where Square comes out.
Like, decisions are made for a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. The reason that, like, Resident Evil Remake came out on GameCube rather than PlayStation, I could tell you which one was going to probably make more money.
Sure,
but there's a lot of things being weighed in that decision, and like. It's the same. That's their business decision to make. I can be pissed about it. I can think they're dumb. But like this entitlement, this like outrage, it's like, oh, this is like anti-consumer and whatever. It's like, I don't know all the fucking things that are going on. Like, you got to make your sure. business decision.
Yeah,
I can
to be
make
fair.
My unhappiness heard. That's right. Fine. That's great. But this like. How could they do this? Outrage, outrage, no, outrage.
I like, think I agree with you. Because
it's like, fucked up.
My outrage is not that. I agree with you. That's why I'm not mad about the Street Fighter thing. And as my outrage, and you can go back and listen to the podcast.
I'm not
it's
either.
Not changing.
I'm
more mad just that they went with the shitty platform instead of going with like the one that made more
sense.
Yeah,
I'm
glad that was a fucking stupid business decision in my mind. Less than like they offended me as a gamer. Because I don't care. I'm not going to play the game anyway.
Maybe Microsoft money handed the shit out of them to the point where it made more sense than Tomb Raider.
But there is a level that
business was like two birds in the bush. Wait, two birds. One bird in the hand.
Go with it. Whatever.
Thanks, George.
I know where you're going.
The deal is, every game is a risk. Every giant AAA thing is a bigger risk because you're spending millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars on it. And if someone was willing to mitigate all that risk plus a bump, it makes sense. I mean, there's a reason we went with Skulls of Shogun on Windows 8.
Because, you're still selling out, but it makes sense.
Yeah. Selling out makes sense if you want to stay.
But
in
you are
sometimes.
Selling out. But
depends on the price. Depends on the price.
Sense.
If the price is right. Anybody will do it. So
everybody's got a price.
Apparently, because that that game would have sold on a lot of different systems.
Probably.
Let's ground it back in the actual game.
Yes.
So what we saw, which we saw a couple days early, and Sony was like making jokes at the press conference, like, "Oh no, the gameplay didn't leak." Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Like, what were they talking about?
I don't know.
It all leaked. It all completely leaked, which is too
bad.
Well,
there was a second trailer that was just gameplay.
Yeah, but the first trailer didn't have much.
No, what leaked was only in the first trailer, which was like the hype trailer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I saw all of that stuff.
Half the first trailer was like Street Fighter 2. It wasn't even like new stuff. It was like showing like the history and stuff. That's why I
watched that first trailer.
No, I saw the part where he gets knocked through the wall.
There's a little bit of gameplay in there, but it's not the full thing.
It's not the full thing, but I saw the part where he gets knocked through the wall.
That was in the original trailer. Yeah.
So somebody got this trailer ahead of time and was like, I'm going to fucking spill this to the media 2 days ahead of time to be cool.
No,
like,
I think what happened is Capcom or Sony like probably flicked a switch too early. Somebody, right?
No, I think it was up on YouTube, but
unlisted. What happens is when you publish an unlisted video on YouTube, automatically send an email to your subscribers is checked. And now this is just me guessing, but what I guess is that someone did that and didn't.
Unclick
they forgot
that.
To unclick
I don't
the thing.
Know. I mean, millions of people out there have millions of shit crawling YouTube probably like every second to just detect any like random video. Whatever happened.
Yes.
I'm less interested in the game itself than I am in the story behind it because the game itself just looks like Street Fighter 4, right? I mean, they got destructible environments.
Well, I'm interested in that. I want to talk about that. So two things. One is like the environments have, it seemed like a extending, smashing through what would be the normal corner of a stage.
I don't know if I like that.
Like which changes
very dead or alive.
That's a very big deal.
Tekken did that too. I don't think that's really.
I feel like that kind of thing is like totally gimmicky.
It's a dead or alive thing.
I just want to see pure gameplay.
Dead or alive, you're going onto a whole nother plane, right?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times, yeah.
This one, it seemed to me like maybe it's the getting knocked in a corner changes the entire dynamic of a fighting game.
Yes.
And then being able to knock somebody through a corner and then having that space. Would change things to me as a spectator.
If you already have Guard Crush, the game also has Guard Crush.
And then, so it's another thing that it showed.
Does Street Fighter 4 not have Guard Crush?
No, that's a Street Fighter 3 thing. Okay. And it's just, I don't know, like, if you've got Guard Crush, then this the breakable environments. I don't know to what extent the other stages do that sort of thing, but I always look at that and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's taking away from the gameplay. Maybe they're going a more casual route. I don't know.
I do get the looked very similar to Street Fighter 4. I think yeah. the background, I guess I should say, looked a lot better, where you could tell, okay, this is doing something more. The lighting was better.
In screens, it looks better.
It did look like four tuned
up. I think that's the thing. Like, everyone up until now sort of had its own aesthetic, like, around, like, yeah. the Alpha series. Everything was very independently thing.
Yeah. yeah.
5 looks like 4. It's like 4+.
It's yeah. not a rethink in as far as the aesthetic, for sure. It even had that in the special moves. It has the kind of ink kind of motif going on.
I had heard it was going to look pretty different, and I almost wonder if maybe this is when I first heard about this a while ago, and I almost wonder if like maybe like they got cold feet and were like, okay, this is too different. Let's just go with what's
safe. They should go with different.
Safe. Different. Oh, well, I mean, like 4 was great because it was so different, but it wasn't just different. It was good.
Yeah.
And true. Like, true. Different
four
is okay if it is
good,
a good
and fair.
I think so. I think that watercolor like streaky yeah. thing was really cool.
And I like what 5 looks like, but I do understand when people are like, oh, okay, it looks like 4 a little bit.
I
improved.
Wish whatever they when 4 came out, no one ever thought of that art style, and that's why it was cool. I wish they had something now that was no one had thought of yet that was equally cool, but I guess not.
Also, well, maybe related, maybe not. I want to hear what you guys think before I say it, but Uncharted 4 Thief's End gameplay footage. What do people think?
I think Nathan Drake looks too real. I don't know. I wanted him to look more like he looked in the old games.
That picture that people were passing around
the
on
comparison.
Twitter today, the comparison.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was
like,
yeah.
I'm like,
that's
that,
what I saw.
That is a guy. There is a guy on this planet that looks like this.
Right.
Just like this. And it's really kind of freaky. But the gameplay demo itself, like, there was a lot of hiding and shrubs.
Mouth open, like, am I playing now?
Yeah.
I noticed a lot of that.
It's beautiful, like, but, like, the gameplay, like, had me worried. It was, like, hide and shrub.
I just, to me, it was like, it looks really, really good. And like, yeah. a jungle, of course, is always like the really tough video game environment to do. And right. that fucking looked like better than any jungle I've ever seen. However, it looked like I'm going to feel the same way, which is like,
shoot,
I kind of want to just see the cutscenes of this thing.
Right. Well, and knowing the Last of Us guys are doing it, though, right? Doesn't
yeah,
that make you a little more interested?
Kind of the other Uncharted guys.
No, but isn't it Bruce and Neil and those guys are working on this
it
one,
is.
Right?
Yes,
like, they did 1 and 2.
But yeah, but What's-Her-Face was the,
but 2
like,
is really good.
Creatively, right?
Amy Hennig.
I mean,
but they...
Well, that's a kind of a big part of Uncharted, though, right?
But, okay, so... But the gameplay there was very much entrenched in the Uncharted stuff.
Yeah.
And... The Neil Druckmann kind of poo-pooed a comment about, you know, shooting guys in the head a thousand times. Kind of like,
what did he say? I didn't click the link, but I heard that he
just
commented on it.
To paraphrase and really simplify, he said, "What do you expect? It's a video game. It's an Indiana Jones fantasy. You're shooting a lot of, you know, he's shooting a lot of Nazis. You don't really think about it."
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I think Indiana Jones probably shoots or kills probably like between. I'm guessing now in like the teens or maybe 20. I'm not going to ever see the latest Indiana Jones movies, but up until then, I think you probably
killed at least one refrigerator
guys in the first like 10 minutes of Uncharted. It's just, if the gameplay was good, if the gunplay was good, maybe it wouldn't bother
right.
me. Or sure. if the gap between the gunplay and the cinemas wasn't so
pronounced, yeah.
Yeah, like yeah. disconcerting, then maybe it wouldn't bother me, but like I love the acting, the drama, the characters are actually even pretty good. I really just don't like the gunplay, and I like shooting games, and I kind of like the traversal stuff, but I like just seeing the environments, but that's a game that I'd rather watch somebody play than play myself, which is kind of a weird feeling.
It's like me and you in Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to watch you guys play that because I can't play it myself, but I want to watch somebody play it. That being said, I agree that Nathan Drake and the whole Uncharted thing, like, I like his character. I think he's a cool character. Like, I want to kind of like hang around with him and like see the crazy shit he gets up to, but I prefer that stuff to the actual gameplay.
I'll be curious if they're able to hit a new tone with this one as well. Like, I feel like there's a very entrenched tone, and maybe that's what people want. Maybe that's fine.
Seems like there's a more somber tone.
Well,
maybe?
This is like the last one, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, they kind of basically that.
Nathan
we got a lot more to get through. Let's start cruising. So, Persona 5 coming to PS4 in North America. Surprise, surprise. Following its Japanese release. Didn't really say, but it does
also
say
a shocker.
In 2015.
2017.
Wadum, the next game from Katamari Damacy's Keita Takahashi.
Award for the weirdest fucking trailer of all time.
Yeah, so the trailer... I mean, I really like the little character that it showed, but
it's like a block with some legs and a hat, and he's got a bomb in his hat.
And I'm all for, like, esoteric. I want you know, I want Takahashi to be out there doing that stuff. But
did his thing.
As a trailer, it didn't, I don't think it there really was worked very well. Yeah, it just wasn't, there was no, it was like, there were moments in it I liked, but you have to see it, Jake.
It's, yeah, it's just weird.
I should. I mean, Robin's an old friend of mine, and I've known Kato for a while.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, those guys are up to cool
and
stuff.
And I'm super excited. I mean, super excited about that game. I think it's going to be awesome. I'm just,
I want to see what it actually plays like.
Purely judging the trailer, yeah. Killstrain, top-down free-to-play multiplayer game coming to PS4. Yeah.
You're going to run out of words to pair with Kill.
They acted like, yeah, people were be excited
Kill
about that.
Stumble.
EA offering those three free games. We talked about that briefly. Yes.
You downloaded Plants vs. Zombies. Haven't played it yet.
What was it? Mirror's Edge. And what was the third one?
It was Need for Speed. On Vita.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Developers behind Unfinished Swan working on a mysterious game called What Remains of Edith Finch, where you experience the deaths of several members of a cursed family in Washington State. Jake Castle.
Hello.
That sound familiar?
It's kind of like JoJo.
Well, Washington State part does, sure.
top-down action roguelike called Enter the Gungeon.
That looks cool.
It kind of
cool
does name. Look cool, yeah.
That it does, but it looks to me like,
that looks
like
very
built for
OG.
Twitch TV. Like, yeah. Like, here's everything. Here's like
give it
Binding
to me on
of
PS
Isaac
Plus.
Combined with...
Yeah. I'm a little sad. Don't I be never thought of Gungeon. That's a cool name. That's yeah. pretty cool.
Yeah. Both Broken Age Axe coming to PS4 and Vita, day and date with the PC version in 2015.
Cool, that's actually coming out.
Grim Fandango Remastered coming out January 27th, 2015. They showed more of that.
That's
I was
really
actually
soon.
Like, you know what? I'm going to play that. I've always kind of wanted to play that. Here's my excuse to play that.
I want
to
do that.
Also in Double Fine, the remastering Day of the Tentacle. Not even waiting until Grim Fandango comes out to see how that does.
Wait, they announced another one?
Yeah.
Really?
Day of the Tentacle got a big round of applause.
Wow.
Fat Princess Adventures, really? Still doing stuff?
What?
Okay.
that original team disbanded, so that's got to be a whole new crew. And the art
the
look IP. Is kind of different. I'm interested to
that
see more.
Different. The art seems similar to me, but
I think it's like based on the same thing, but it, like it's very different. It's like fully rendered. The other stuff was very toony.
Maybe it sold. Maybe something happened. So I'm pissed that I didn't get to see this part because I heard about this part.
Oh, it's
and I'm
so
like,
good.
How did you not know the Final Fantasy VII, right? I really want to see how they reveal this because I think it's
how,
like a
I saw
it sounds like a
so many GIFs before I even got into it, dude. Like I waded through the GIFs making fun of it before I even got to the meat of it.
It was basically like, hey, you guys like Final Fantasy VII? And everybody's like,
for years.
Look at this.
We already showed this fully realistic CG trailer of what it could look like. Everyone's like, yeah.
People probably started crying.
And then, they like showed, and then
someone
like, okay.
probably jumped in front of a trailer.
And like, Hashimoto is like, he's orgasming on stage. It's incredible. He's just like, oh. And then they show the trailer, and it's just Final Fantasy VII with upgraded, like,
and people are like,
upgraded.
This is just like
the shaded textures.
The real thing.
Yeah.
Right? Is that going to work?
Yeah. Right.
Stuff, and now they're going to show the new one, like,
because it plays out like, remember Final Fantasy VII? And then it just like ends. It's like you remember it, and then it ends. And
don't
it's like
yet.
The P. And then he's like, the PC port is coming out on PS4. They don't even mince words
Did
about
people
it.
Boo?
No, but the applause, the second applause was like, hey.
Yeah, it was like, am I? What's going on?
Did that
on?
Just happen? Like people had just been punched in the face.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on.
That's so bad.
The Forest, currently in Steam Early Access, coming to PS4. When I saw this part of the press conference, I was like, holy shit, what the hell is this? This looks really interesting.
Yeah, it reminds me of kind of like a DayZ sort of thing.
It also looks very, cool. very stream-friendly kind of game, but looked really good. Of course, from our friends at Yacht Club Games, Indie Game of the
Hells
Year.
Yeah!
Shovel Knight!
Freaking game is
PS4
amazing.
PS4 in 2015. PS3 and PS4 and Vita, I think they have.
Yeah?
Up there with Kratos from God of War 2.
It was animated amazing. Like, it looks so good.
That was cool. That was really awesome. In very similar news, Super Time Force Ultra, STFU, coming to PS4 and PS Vita.
When?
And I don't know. It doesn't, not written here, but I want to say 2015, adding SE... President of Worldwide Studios, Shu Yoshida.
I think that's a great idea.
I heard his weapon is each kind of...
He tweets at you. Yeah, he like throws love, and then he shoots different tweets like, I love PS4, or STFU hashtag at people. Pretty cool. Ultra Street Fighter 4 is also coming to PS4, kind of set the stage for Street Fighter 5. Geometry Wars 3 coming to the Vita.
I heard that's good.
GeoGeos 3?
Really? Yeah, people. I saw people tweeting about it. Like, they really liked it. You need it. You're the Geometry Wars guy. You need to get in there.
How many third sequels in a series are subtitled Dimensions? I kind of want to know that.
What's Dimensions?
I feel like, it's Geometry Wars 3, Dimensions. Oh, God. There's a lot of Dimensions.
Well, part 2s are always Origins, right?
Yeah.
It's like... Yeah. Probably a lot of games as they went to 3D Dimensions. I don't know if I want to even give it a shot. Mm. It does have a classic mode, I know, with just Geo Wars 1 and 2, but...
Oh, really?
And actually, coming to the Vita, I might play Geo Wars 3 on the Vita, just to have one.
Seems like a good
Vita
game.
Darkest Dungeon coming to PlayStation platforms. Looks kind of awesome. Cool. Interesting Kickstarter.
Darkest Dungeon.
Gaffer made.
Turn-based. Nice. RPG game, but you like are dealing with like losing your characters losing their shit.
Oh, yeah.
Where the one looks like a Hellboy game.
Style. Yeah.
Those guys are rad. They're from Vancouver. Yeah, that game's sweet. That game's super rad.
I'm looking pretty cool. Awesome. Bastion coming to PS4 and PS Vita. I guess like 5 million copies wasn't enough. Jake, I remember playing Orcs Must Die at your old house in Seattle.
That's quite a fun game.
Quite good.
Orcs Must Die Unchained, kind of a what would you call it? Third person, whatchamacallit, tower defense kind of thing.
Dude, what happened to your eye?
I don't know.
One of them has gone south.
Well, okay,
keep going. It's all red.
Yeah. Gang Beasts coming also back from Double Fine.
I played that. It's pretty rad. That game was pretty ridiculous.
It looks fun. The one thing I will say about that game and like a lot of indie games is like I know like it's a one concept thing and that concept is awesome. Like the whole like physics and you're like wrestling guys and shit and you're on these crazy scenarios that are getting run over by trucks and stuff
trains.
On a giant fan. That stuff looks awesome. That's no excuse to not design your characters. Like the characters are like characters are like blobs. It's
they're
like
putty.
That's not okay.
Straight
that's,
out of Gumby.
That's not okay. That is like crash test dummy.
This is the
characters.
Thing about indie games. A lot of indie games have the resources to create some cool, fun experience and do
a
really good job of that.
The one cool
and it's like
thing.
The sketch. It's like the alpha version, right?
And
like if you were AAA, you could take it. You could find some awesome character designer and like take it through the end zone. But a small team a lot of times doesn't have that. That being
said,
the core of the game is super rad. If you can just get over that, that game is super rad.
And granted, I'd much rather you have the cool, new, interesting idea than the like polished character designs or like going for it and the visual take as well. But to me, it's like I want the whole package. Maybe I'm just greedy and like it's unrealistic or whatever. But it's like this parts of the indie games when they look like it's placeholder stuff to me says like. Put some thought into it. Like
I do like the aesthetic of the game, though. They're like little putty guys that, like, you know.
So, you know, if they take
it helps
that
with
all
the ridiculousness
way,
of the whole thing.
If they take that all the way and they make that part of the thing and it looks that way, then
there's like a weird dichotomy there where it's like these weird doughboy looking dudes getting thrown in front of a kind of a realistic looking train and getting slammed across the
station.
You
want to be able to
it's kind of funny. Like every time you just laugh, you're like, this is ridiculous.
They're like Gumby characters.
So I would say, you know, for example, like, you know, the characters in. Sports Friends. Some of the Sports Friends games.
Doug Wilson, also?
Yeah.
The friend of the show.
Friend of,
by
part
being
of
friend
the
of
show.
Me. He should be at Otato tonight.
Well, but oh, nice. I will say, like, those guys look like they're designed. They're very simple, and but they don't look like they're placeholder to me. They look like they're designed that way as part of the game and the experience and whatever. I'm just saying, give it a little something. Gang Beasts, Banner Saga's coming to Vita. Yep. It got announced a sequel. I got
Banner Saga
announced
2,
for that as well.
I didn't realize the first one was out. I guess I didn't kickstart that one somehow.
Towerfall Ascension also coming to Vita. A lot of stuff pretty much announced for Vita. It's
Vita had a good
indie
show.
Game machine.
It's funny. People bitch and complain when Vita gets no announcements, and now they got like all these crazy announcements, and no one's really talking about it anyway. It's just like Vita can't win.
They're kind of like, that's an indie game. It makes sense that would come to Vita too for most of it, and are like old like Suikoden games that got announced.
Amazing. Suikoden 1 and 2 on Vita is awesome. Those are two great games.
It's like, really? Like, to me, I was like, did that not already come out? I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this is...
Konami's been screwing people for, like, 10 years with that. It's been out on PS1, like, archives or whatever forever.
Mm-hmm. So Octodad also coming out. Resident Evil Revelations 2 is coming
That's
out for
cool
Vita,
too.
Which to me says, oh, okay, here's, like, a AAA series.
But wait, do I have to buy it separately, or is it cross... Like, if I buy it on PS4, can I play it on Vita?
I don't think they said, but I'm guessing...
I would hope so.
99.9% the answer is no.
That you would have to buy it separately.
No, that it's not cross-buy, yeah.
Right, yeah.
That would be so lame.
And that was pretty much the press conference. It was very casual. They were having fun with it. Maybe a little too much fun at certain times. Kind of like their E3 press conference. But overall, I think, like, unmitigated success.
Yeah, there was a lot of really cool like things after it.
Under No Man's Sky.
The No Man's Sky concert.
Under No Man's Sky night or something.
Yeah, that was really cool.
So it's too bad that we don't have more time, because this single sheet of paper could launch like a 2-hour discussion with this group, and it's started by the guy in No Man's Sky.
Let's do it tomorrow.
His basic thing is why the Minecraft generation will reject Call of Duty type games. You have to really hear his argument and what he's talking about, but it's super interesting. If you haven't checked it out, there was a GAF thread started on it. Just search for it, No Man's Sky. I'll just read just the single thing. You know, games are obsessed with having no breathing space. They never let the player walk around and enjoy something. With Call of Duty, it feels like they sit there, and then with the stopwatch, if an explosion doesn't have gone off every 30 seconds, someone's fired. But he's saying, like, the kids who grow up with Minecraft will really struggle to relate to something like Assassin's Creed. They won't want to be that guy. When they say I love games, they don't mean the same things that we do when we say it. The Minecraft generation, totally different expectation. I found myself intersecting with them. I found myself playing those games, playing DayZ for hours and being reinvigorated. That's the kind of game we want to make. You're just telling your own story. You ask a kid what they're doing when they're playing Minecraft. They can't even tell you. They're doing dozens of things no one has told them to. They're just playing. As a veteran gamer, you feel almost guilty doing this. Oh, I'm wasting time. What have I achieved? What's my score? Tell me, Xbox. Validate what I'm doing. Legitimize me. And so he's keen to stress No Man's Sky will provide a similar core experience to players. It has space combat. It has first-person shooter action. There's a structure that will guide the plan. This towards resolution. But then this, I think, great. Is the best idea to their way of summing it up. The mythology that surrounds the Yeti in GTA, we're sort of making a game that is about that, which is pretty interesting. Because it's kind of like, right?
Nice.
That's like, what a way to like say it.
They just got my money.
Preach on, brother.
It kind of, it makes me, I read that this morning and I'm like, I feel like a dinosaur, you know, because I'm part of that generation that needs that score-based sort of thing. And like,
we're all taught that way, but I think all of us have had different experiences.
But like Zelda 1 was my sandbox when I was a kid. Like, I didn't like play Zelda 1 to like go do like dungeon 1, 2, 3 in order. I did it to do what kids today probably do in Minecraft, you know, just fucking around for like
12 hours. But it still did it towards an ending, Zelda, and it's still a little different to Minecraft. It's just like, I'm gonna fuck around.
What am I gonna do
today? Zelda is still like, you gotta kill this guy and go do this and do that. And in Minecraft, it's just like, I don't know, like, here's a bunch of building blocks, like, make something.
Right.
Like, it is a different way of thinking. But I think we've all experienced the joy of that in different ways. I mean, I think Rez, in a weird way, is that experience. Like, was that experience in a time when all the experiences were built around, okay, you're going to beat the boss, beat the game. What score can you get or whatever? Like, the game is not that rewarding in that sense.
Right.
It's rewarding in the sense of, like, just...
Well, that was punishing to get the 100% and all that stuff.
Well, no,
there was
of course,
a couple tough ones in there, but...
It was, but, like, I don't think it was, like, if you compare it on pure gameplay, shooting, whatever, it wasn't that. It was just, like, just sitting there and experiencing it was the point of the game.
I think...
it had a mode,
Where you, this is something that we've talked a lot about with Galaxy. I mean, it's an old school spaceship shooter, but GTA is one of the biggest influences on that game. It's that kind of freedom of like, yeah, you got something to do, but like, you can kind of go about it your own way. And like, it's this big world and there's stuff, like, it's a living world. You can kind of go fuck around.
Right.
And you can sort of choose how you're going to approach it. Like, there's not any one way to do it. You can sneak past dudes. You can sort of go balls in. You can sort of, there's like a lot of ways to just sort of organically find your way through that living experience that's been sort of organically created. And I think, you know, me playing it GTA, like, I find less interest in some of the kind of really scripted missions and in just sort of telling my own story.
Seeing
and like
world.
Just pissing some dudes off and like running, like the other night I was running down deer on the mountains with my motorcycle, you know, and like just like random weird shit, like, you know, getting someone pissed off at you and chasing after them and like, you know, having the cops chase you and like you run up into the mountains and you're like losing them creatively.
Right.
And that to me is like way more like every moment I'm like judging, like, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do?
Right.
I can do this. I can try that. What if this will work? You know, that to me is super satisfying. I've never like been a part of the Minecraft generation necessarily. I probably should spend more time with that. But a lot of those open world games, even Far Cry was kind of like that. Like, you kind of find your way through it. Like, it's kind of linear in a way. It sort of, like, holds your hands
the
through this canyon, but, like,
it,
like
you
still could,
and if you don't,
exactly.
You
Skyrim's another great example. Like, I had so much fun playing that game, and Fallout 3, exactly. the missions themselves were like whatever. I spent so much time in that game. Just like, I'd wake up at dawn. It's like 6 a.m. I'm going to go east today. I'm going to find as much as I can. I got my sniper rifle. I'm going to just go find my way.
That game.
Find a few paintbrushes and parchment.
Dude, JJ has a hate on for
you Fallout. Have no idea. That is gaming
that
nirvana,
when I
man.
Was staying with you when I was jet lagged and falling asleep, and I like wake up and Jake's like, "What the fuck is this crappy? What is this crap?" And then he's like, "Dude, last night I found this guy in a shed, and this happened, and that happened, and whatever." And he's like, tells me this 2-hour story about what he did last night. I'm like, "Oh shit, dude! I think I like left the game with you or something. You were so into it."
Dear of Kyoto, if you're listening to this podcast, watch out for the bald man on a bicycle.
Yeah, because get the hell away if you live in Nara. Jake's gonna show up on his 4-wheeler. Street Fighter,
look out, America's here.
It's gonna have cross-platform play on PS4 and PC. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big deal for Sony to allow that to happen. Yep. It must have been tense negotiations between Capcom and Sony.
Now just get PS3 stick support and we'll be good.
Game Awards, real quick. Gone Home developer Fulbright Company showed off Tacoma, kind of a tease. Codename Steam's coming out March 13th, 2015.
That is good.
That was cool. Banner Saga got a sequel we mentioned earlier. There's a Godzilla game coming out.
Gojira.
Metal Gear Online, they showed.
That was a good trailer.
It looks good.
What's the ETA for Metal Gear?
Same time as Phantom Pain.
Is it come out with it?
That's what this I saw headline. I didn't read it.
What is Phantom Pain slated?
It's the multiplayer.
I think early next year, right? Like first quarter. I'm totally wrong, probably, but I think it's not too far away.
Star Fox game coming for Wii U. Before Legend of Zelda, which
looks radical. Yeah.
Let's just shit, man, it. Zelda.
Oh yes. They're doing everything I want.
They're opening it back up.
So
maybe. Maybe they're opening it back up.
It's like
it seems like they're maybe opening it back up.
And like the horse, it's like, yeah, wait a second. Yeah, like horses don't run into trees. Why did I have to even fucking worry about this? Like, yes. Like, exactly.
You just point and go and deal with other shit while your horse does its thing. That's like really smart. That game.
To me, if these are the ideas that they're showing off like this, because then you know that they don't like show off the idea or explain it usually pretty early what the thing is for the game. But I feel like I don't even need the thing. Like, if it's just that, what they're showing. Open world, that big of a world, which when they reveal,
I know
that,
I've been meaning to go back and freeze frame the map because I want to go back and look at that map because I just got like for that 1 second when they pulled out, I got like that Zelda 2 vibe. Remember when like you went from Zelda 1 and then you saw the Zelda 2 map and Zelda 1 was like this little tiny thing in the Zelda 2 map? That was like the feeling I got. I was like, oh my god, this world was gonna
be because you see the horizon and they mark something on the map and it's like, whoa, and then they go out and it's like, oh my god, it's so big, and then it,
yep,
they go really huge.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's kind of OG fucking old school boner right there, man. I'm very excited.
Big time. Good. And there's been a lot of like, you know, comparison gifts with like the Zelda 1 manual stuff.
Oh, I saw that.
You know I love that, dude. I was just like, oh my god.
That stuff is really.
I'm not
really
sure how I feel about the arrow time yet, you know. But like, I think it's gonna be cool.
I think I can dig it.
Everybody, at least people like us,
no problem with that.
Who didn't think of Max Payne the second they showed that, though, right? Like, I don't like to think about dirty things like Max Payne.
I didn't even think about Max Payne.
Really?
Yeah, I've been spending so many games.
I only think about Max Payne when I see someone with a face that looks constipated.
What I did is I thought back to the E3 trailer and was like, how is that actually possible to be a game in-game thing? The only way that it would be possible is something that's going to slow down time like
maybe
that. So
I mean, maybe there's a game world reason for it or something.
Like the Legend of Zelda, like,
dude, if you're
stopper
badass,
of time or something.
If you're badass,
too, maybe that's part
and you're
of the
riding
thing.
A bow and arrow, you know, you can see things in a different pace, man. It's like this time slows down.
That always was really fun in any game when they do that. So I'm sure, like, what they probably did, you know, they don't really, it's not like they're exactly playing everybody else's games all the time. They probably tried it and were like, oh shit, this actually is really fun. Let's do it.
I would encourage people to go Nintendo to find this video that I think they made, somebody made, that had the, so they were showing the game on a screen, right?
Yes.
And not filled up, but they like digitally corrected it so it fills the entire screen.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, you should just check it out. It's pretty interesting. We mentioned Shovel Knight winning other award winners here at the Game Awards. Hearthstone, Super Smash Bros. For Wii U, JJ, Best Fighting Game, Developer of the Year, Nintendo, pretty big. Sports racing game, Mario Kart 8, Best Shooter, Far Cry 4.
That Developer of the Year thing highlighted one of the few things that I think, I just want to say off to top it off, like the Game Awards were actually really good.
Yeah.
And way better than the shitty Spike shit from the last few years. Like, props to Jeff Keighley, like, keep doing it this way. Much better experience. I really liked it. But the Developer of the Year award was like highlighted one of the problems, which is like so many of the awards were just like afterthoughts on the side. Like they were interviewing Reggie on the side of the stage and just like, oh, and by the way, you also got the Developer of the Year award. Let's keep talking. And it's like, wait, right. That's like a big deal for a game show.
Right.
Developer of the Year, like let's talk about why and what and whatever, but they just skip right over that. But
Best Score, Soundtrack, Destiny, Mari O'Donnell, who also did the score for the Game Awards.
Oh.
What are the odds?
Wow, how about that?
That was an awkward scene with him where he came on right after the Destiny guys and like there was an award there and they're like, oh, that's yours too. And like there was like awkward silence and it was like, okay, let's move on.
They start wrestling for it. Best Performance, Trey Parker as various...
That was interesting.
Was he also not at the...
He was there. Oh. He came up and got his award and like gave props to video games and that was cool.
Weird coincidence. What else? Dragon Age Inquisition won Game of the Year. So are people going to play that game?
It does look really good, but I still feel bad.
RPG players here?
It looks like Skyrim.
I don't like WRBGs. I'm not
a
fan.
Me either.
What? How do you know until you play one? Wait, it's Bioware.
You play JRPGs, but you don't play WRPGs?
No, because I played KOTOR and I hated it.
I do like Fallout 3.
Yeah, so. Dude, how do you
and
not...
I hate
Skyrim is good, man.
Elder Scrolls, yeah, those games are terrible.
How do you not know it's BioWare?
Fucking the best RPGs ever made, I think.
Nah, I wouldn't go that far.
It's BioWare. Like,
they are really pretty.
Wouldn't you give it a shot?
If someone gave it to me for free, I would definitely play a lot of it.
You heard audience out there. If somebody sends a copy of it here to the show, maybe you can
JJ will play it and live stream it.
Dead,
yes,
fucking sure. Waifu filled heart.
It's the time thing, dude. If I could play that game and there was like, oh, we're gonna give you this action packed, okay, amazing so that, cinematic 10-hour thing, I'd be like, boom, let's do it. But it's gonna be like 100 hours. I'm like, that's never gonna happen.
I just don't like playing really buggy, poorly put together games.
That's
all right.
That's acceptable answer, Jake. JJ, unacceptable.
We gotta wrap this up. What's left?
Let's see. Nintendo, yes, we're discontinuing some amiibo figures. Apparently, JJ, according to, quote, friend at Target.
Oh, nice.
Unquote. That's your Donkey Kong, Samus, Star Fox are next to be discontinued.
Samus seems weird, but maybe Fox and Donkey Kong, I guess, those seem like not very popular. I don't know.
Nintendo and Philips settled some lawsuits about stuff. Pour one out for Mr. Ralph Baer.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Friend of EGM. We interviewed him a lot. Basically, like, if you had to credit a father of video games, like, fuck Nolan Bushnell. He's, like, the, like, great-grandson of them. Like, Ralph Baer is kind of the guy. Ripe old age, so...
92, man.
He was ancient when we knew him, and that was, like, 20 years ago. So, he lived out a
born
full,
in
1922...
Awesome. Fled Germany in 1938.
Crispin talked to him numerous times. Yep. Crispin, our friend of the show, Crispin Boyer, our EGM, but like he's talking on the phone with Ralph Baer. He went to visit his house.
2006, George Bush gave him the National Medal of Technology, which is pretty
cool.
That's
awesome.
Absolutely. With the Magnavox, with the Odyssey, with Magnavox, the Odyssey, so all those games, never really... Really great. Jake, are we impeding your texting?
Turn the damn phone off.
Yeah. Turn the damn thing off.
Yeah, you still have the fucking sound activated for when you type?
Yes, I know it's your pet peeve. That's the only reason I keep it going. I know you love it. You love it.
All right.
Almost there. Friend of the show, Yoshiko Komoto, talking shit about console games, saying
shots
mobile
fired.
Is going to crush it. That's another hour-long conversation.
Dude,
between
and I
want to
be a part
John.
Of it.
It's kind
we'll have next time that you're here, hopefully next month.
It's like when Hulk Hogan went to WCW and like
he's right.
NWO music.
I'm just saying he's right. Deal with it. He's right.
Dude, what happened?
Nothing happened. What happened Muffles is I see the future and you don't, and
dude,
5 years from now...
He would have wanted it that way.
I don't see this bleak future where mobile shitty mobile games are going to rule, but I see this future where mobile games are going to be the main thing, and you will see it too, and you will apologize to me in 5 years.
As we're muffling him. It's for the best.
Your precious destiny 10 years from now is going to be a fucking mobile game.
It's
Wait
not
going to
have
it.
Shitty controls.
It's going
it's
to
never
going to
happen.
No, it's not. You're right. It's not because they're going to invent good controls for that shit.
There's a Destiny mobile
It's going to catch up.
Already.
Not talking about that crap. We're talking about real Destiny is going to be a mobile game in 10 years. Watch.
Theater Rhythm Dragon Quest.
Really? That got announced?
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know. That's awesome.
Everybody was freaking out about it.
I called that on the podcast like 2 years ago. Remember? I was like, when they made theater, I was like, they should make a Dragon Quest.
It's a total.
I think it's a great idea.
Totally makes sense.
Wow, awesome.
There was a Japanese special on Dragon Quest, by the way, that you should really
I saw the link. JJ sent me the link. I haven't watched it yet, but I will check it out.
Really good. Yeah. I say that as not a big Dragon Quest fan. Apple named Threes, friend of the show, game of the friend of the show, Threes in Monument Valley.
Hey, we translated that game.
Yes. We did into Japanese. That's pretty cool. Congrats.
That's
to them.
Two iOS game of the years that we've translated.
And
what was the other one?
Sorcery.
Oh, nice.
Shit. Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Wow. Damn.
We should put that up on the website. And we should also put this up on the website because we're done.
Yes.
Booyah! Pretty much done.
Except we didn't take 30 seconds to praise this. The PlayStation 4 limited edition PS1 model.
Why are we going to talk about that? Because none of us can get one.
I want one.
We're in the
wrong. Did anybody else put in for the at the Japanese site to try and get one?
No, I meant to, and then I realized today it was too late. One thing I
oh, it's
say,
too late. Really?
I saw a story. One went for $20,000.
Well, so
there's only 12,000 of them.
They auctioned one. Wait, there's only 12,300.
12,300.
Yeah. So they
in the world
one, and it was for charity. So who knows or whatever. But Jake, I saw that there's a PlayStation 1 theme for PlayStation 4,
which I downloaded.
I need to get that.
You posted on Facebook.
It's awesome.
I was deceived because the video. That I don't know if you watched that video, but it has like the startup sound.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Every time I turn on my PS4, it goes.
Wait, it does?
Are you serious?
Wait. Okay. So something is wrong because my PS4 has the. It doesn't go. It does that thing. My PS4 has the visual theme, but does not have the sounds.
You are. I don't know.
That's because your shit fried.
Mine works.
Apparently,
works.
So.
It makes my old
so
gamer soul just glow
like,
every time.
Like,
I'm just like, oh yeah.
Did Eurogamer add that as part of the video? What a cruel fucking hoax!
Nope, it trolled you, man.
All right. Well, I'll have to figure that out.
It's right when you come into like the theme.
No. Yeah. Instead of the boom, 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 like that.
JJ, when do we find out if we got picked for the lottery?
I believe it's the 16th, 15th, or the 16th.
I'll give you $20,000 for a PS4.
Well, I probably would sell it for $20,000.
If I get one, it's yours.
Man, I want that
if
thing
either
bad.
Get one, I think
so
I
beautiful
it for my PS4.
Well, I'm not going to buy it. So whoever,
I would have just sold it to be honest. If it's really going for that much, and man,
yeah.
It's probably for the best. Like,
you know me.
Haruki needs a college fund.
Haruki needs a new pair of shoes. Yes. Speaking of which,
all right.
So does number two.
Time
where
to go.
Can people find this podcast that they are listening to already? So
wait,
they don't really need
work?
To know.
Don't they really know?
We have a website at we have a website at 8-4.jp. Our second home is giantbomb.com. You can find us on iTunes. We have a Facebook. Search for 8-4. LTD. We
thread
have
on NeoGAF.
We have a thread on NeoGAF. You can find us on Twitter. At 84play.
Keep going.
And my personal one is at SBRSK.
Mark MacD.
Kotawari.
John TV.
Jake Huza.
And Jake, do you want to say anything about Galaxy for fans? I know there are a lot of them out there who've been watching it, looking.
It's getting
waiting.
Close. It's getting real close. You know, we're kind of closing in. It's a really exciting time to. You know, I used to be. I like to still consider myself a painter, but I used to be like a big heavy oil painter, and for me the biggest rush was always at the end of the project, like the last couple highlights and stuff, and
right.
Just like making sure everything was like just, and we're getting there. So
good.
It's kind of that runner's high. If you've ever been like in track or anything in high school or anything like that, it's that last lap where
you're burning,
but like you're starting to float because you can see the end coming, and it's coming, and
cool.
it's super solid. I am super in love with this game. So
2018,
yeah, you heard it here, 2018.
You're right here first. Until then, who wants to take us out?
Fucker.
And it's great how we make each other. On this wild and tragic color cell of life. Any cool
don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you. Ooh, yeah, yeah. I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. Don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I don't need to hang my stocking there upon the fireplace. Santa Claus will make me happy with the toy on Christmas Day. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you. You, baby. Oh, I won't ask for much this Christmas. I won't even wish for snow. I'm just gonna keep on waiting underneath the mistletoe. And I will make a list and send it to the North Pole for singing. I won't even stay awake to hear those magic reindeer clay. Cause I just want you here tonight, holding on to me so tight. What more can I do? Oh, baby, all I want for Christmas is you. Woo, 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 woo. You, 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 you. Oh, 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 the lights are shining so brightly everywhere. And the sound of children's laughter fills the air. And everyone is singing. I hear those bells ringing. Santa, won't you bring me the one I really need? Won't you please bring my baby to me? Oh, I don't want a lot for Christmas. This is all I'm asking for. I just want to see my baby standing right outside my door. Oh, I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. So make my wish come true. It's baby, all I want for Christmas is you. You, 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 you. All I want, all I really want is, want is, want is, want is, want is. All I want, all I really want is you, 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 you. All I want for Christmas is you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Merry Christmas! I'm getting a new coat.